talked about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hi, I'm Tommy Chong, and good day, Tampa Bay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Sorry, I'm so late. Samantha, I'm punctual always. This is one of the first times in a long time that I've been late to anything. I thought I was going to get here 15 minutes early. You will never guess what happened on my way over here. I hit a person. It was a kid. I hit a child on a Razor scooter. He came running out in front of me. I couldn't see him. There was nothing I could do. So I hit him, and he ended up being fine. He got up, he left, so it's all good with all, you know, what ends well. How does that saying go? What does it end? Whatever. You know what I'm saying, right? Okay, you're just staring at me, but you get it. Is there a waitress here? I feel like I need some coffee. Don't even talk to me until I've had my morning coffee. You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, I can't find my albuterol. I'm getting really out of breath. Sorry. You know what? I'm being so selfish. How are you doing?
And now.
We're not going to be the dummies anymore, folks. We're going to be the smart ones. We're going to be the smart ones.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, that's good news for me.
Right?
We're not going to be the dummies anymore. We're going to be the smart ones. I like it. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. It's the 3rd of May.
Let me find my awesome Donald Trump clip that I've not played yet that you're going to love so much. It could be, look, it's hard to pick a favorite.
It's a tough category.
It's a very tough category. Why can't I find it?
Really, this is the reigning champ right now.
Sit down.
Sure.
Yeah, that's pretty great. But this one, I think, tells you more about President Trump than you ever needed to know.
Who are you consulting with consistently so that you're ready on day one?
I'm speaking with myself, number one, because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
Oh, my God.
Because I have a good brain and I've said a lot of things.
He's a real man that says that.
Yes.
And he's running for president and he might win.
Again, the question asked to Donald Trump.
Who are you consulting with consistently so that you're ready on day one?
I'm speaking with myself, number one, because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
So he's speaking with himself to be ready for day one because of all the experience he has at being president?
Yep.
Just a good brain, though, Bean.
That's all
you
need.
He's got a good brain.
Yeah, well, you just need a good brain.
And, by the way, he said a lot of things.
He has said a lot of things.
It's true.
Donald Trump is the kind of guy who says something and then later can say, I heard a guy say.
Yeah, true.
Right?
And wholeheartedly believe it.
Essentially just quoting himself as the source for all of his information.
Yeah.
It's got to happen now. I didn't want it to happen, but now I think I need it to happen.
Nope.
Now I think I'm moving to Canada if he doesn't win. Oh,
I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of content there.
Yes.
If that's all we care about, which for the most part it is, he becomes president.
Yeah.
Boom. It's George W. all over again.
Yeah. I feel like we got to vote for him, guys.
No.
Bean.
I do.
No.
I feel like we have
wow.
to now.
No.
I think Kevin has been right all along.
I do not.
He said vote for comedy.
You have to vote for comedy.
And he's right.
But I never knew that voting for comedy meant this guy.
Right.
This is way more comedy than anybody else in history.
He's doing more than he has to
impress us. Well, I talked to myself because I have a good brain.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's who I'm consulting with
That's
to be ready
real,
on day
Kevin.
One.
Kevin.
He has a good brain.
He didn't have the best words.
And he said a lot of things.
And he said a lot of things.
So.
Come on, Allie. Get on board. Come over here with us. It's going to be fun.
Come on, Allie.
But
you have to look at it like good fun.
See, I really like this country.
Okay, me too.
And I want the best for it and its people.
All right, let me just bring this up one time and then I'll go away. That's not true. I'm not going away. You vote for him and he gets into office.
Okay.
It seems like the government of the United States is so difficult to move to get anything done.
Okay.
Won't it sort of downplay his stupidity and sort of keep him in check in a little box where he can't do too much damage? It's hard enough to get anything done.
No.
It won't. Okay.
I will say this. I'm very curious as to who he will pick as a running mate. That will pique my curiosity. And if it's somebody that, well, isn't that horrible?
Like Gary Busey?
Nope.
Oh.
Not like Gary Busey.
It'd be awesome.
I will feel less terrified for the country that I love so much, but I'll still be terrified.
Abraham Lincoln.
He would be great.
Is he available?
I don't believe he's available.
Easy mother f***ing E.
Again, he's with Abraham.
Okay, I thought those were good choices. Yeah, I think that would make a difference too, but still, president is the president.
Yeah.
He still leads, still comes from him. You know what I mean?
He sure can say a lot of horrible things, even if he can't get stuff through Congress or whatever, he sure can.
Oh, he can still get us into a war real quick with all those words.
Yeah.
Well, we may be saying goodbye to Senator Cruz today. If he loses Indiana, it's going to be hard for him to continue to get any kind of support. So then the few states that are left are all Trump all the time.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Allie, he's a really smart guy.
I've heard him say that numerous times.
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
Again, right. Well aware. Mm-hmm.
I am really proud. Right. I am really honored.
Right. Okay. You guys remember when Donald Trump was just the guy that was calling out President Obama on his birth certificate forever?
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
For like 7 years?
61% of Donald Trump supporters still believe the president was born overseas, by the way. Still.
Is that true?
Yes. Yes. Oh, they poll everything.
You know?
But yeah, I just saw that again recently. It's that theory has not waned that he's African.
Good times.
Well, I had a thing, but I think I'm going to save it for tomorrow because now we're all too depressed to move on.
I'm not depressed.
I mean, we're so excited now to move on because fun times ahead.
One of the things that we're going to do on today's, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Dad, where the party at?
Right. One of the things we're going to do today is Vin Scully talking about beards.
About what?
Beards.
Beards. Hair on your face?
Yes.
Yes, those
that
kinds
type
of beards.
Of beard.
Those beards. Yes.
And Bean has played us just tiny little snippets, but I got to tell you, Bean said he goes on for about 5 minutes and he tells the history of the beard.
Like a pregame type of story?
I don't know. I wasn't watching. Bean, was it pregame?
Oh, no. This is right in the middle of the game. This is during play-by-play.
Action is happening.
On the and he
not a rainout.
No. He covers that brilliantly, too, like he does.
You mean in between innings
when they're
warming up and whatnot?
No, with an active batter and hits happening and fielding plays and, the whole deal. He handles all of that in addition to...
Ah, yes, the beards.
Right. And then covers everything. Finn's the best.
What's that? I want that now.
It's 7 o'clock.
The beard.
Right?
We also have your tickets for the K-Rock Weedy Roast. It is sold out. We've got your tickets today, and we're going to give them away to those of you that have to get up early in about a half hour, just after 6.
Wow. Nice.
So pay attention for that. We'll tell you when to call. We have Bean Makes Us Guess. We have Ralph bringing in highlights of himself on Match Game.
As yes. advertised.
We have Jen Kirkman in the studio.
Excellent.
Comedian
Love
author.
Her.
I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself is the name of her book. And we have Teddy Sears in studio from The Flash. Zoom.
Zoom.
Zoom, Zoom, right.
Zoom, Zoom.
Just Zoom.
Oh, just...
In this particular case.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
May have been a hair off.
I don't think it's
just a hair.
Well, those 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:52.
Call me!
Tuesday morning. It is a little Call Me.
Every time I hear that song, I keep flashing back to Blondie's Call Me.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool.
Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
I love that song.
That's Call Me.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that movie, American Gigolo? That's what that's from. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Shocking at the time. Everybody was talking about it. Very controversial. Richard Gere plays a male hooker, basically, for rich ladies.
Yeah, I don't think there were a lot of representations of male prostitutes in media before that.
Mm-mm. And that was back before the cougar days when rich, older women could just go out and just grab a dude. Why didn't they think of that before they started spending money on Richard Gere? Seems to be a cost-saving move right there. Just go out and get your own youngster. You're good to go. I had my share of Beverly Hills ladies back in the day.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A buddy of mine used to bartend at a bar in Beverly Hills. So I would sit at the bar just to hang out with him and chat. He was my best friend. And invariably, divorcees or ladies whose husbands were on the road or whatever would sit at the bar and have a glass of Chardonnay.
Right.
And next thing you know...
Mm-hmm. Glass of Ralph also.
Oh, come on. Why do you have... We were having a good time.
Debbie Likey.
Oh,
well, that's
geez.
Rough.
Did you ever get chased out of the house with a gun?
Never did.
The husband came home early. And...
No, thank, okay. Thank the Lord, baby Jesus. It never quite happened, because that would be
that's
a
not
bad
ideal.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of hookers, ready for Pretty Woman, the musical? Pretty Woman, the musical. Because, you know, eventually, every feature film in the Library of Congress will eventually be turned into a Broadway musical. That's the law. That's the new law. Thanks, Obama. So, Pretty Woman is the next big-time movie that's being turned into a musical.
Apparently, why so soon?
Apparently, the people behind Hairspray and Kinky Boots will be behind Pretty Woman, the musical, which is set to debut on Broadway in the spring of 2017. So, circle your calendars.
Nope.
That should be a great musical. You are a hooker. I've given you money to bone me. But I have a heart of gold. Let me stay in your suite for a couple days.
It sounds awful.
That's going to be great. You guys get up early this morning to watch the Tony Awards
sure.
nominations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tony I was all over it. Yeah, I couldn't sleep last night.
I was the same way. I was like, oh, right? Is it Hamilton? What's who's going to what?
Or Hamilton?
Yeah, that's the only Broadway musical I really know. So apparently that's going on today. And another day, another sex tape in the news. This one, according to TMZ.com, someone trying to sell a graphic sex tape featuring Blac Chyna and Tyga. Now, their relationship has been over for some time, but apparently someone's trying to hawk the video. We'll have to wait and see. Her attorney says he will go after anyone that releases any footage with all his legal might. Until there are just no buyers yet, so they're just trying to scare people out of purchasing it. But Blac Chyna, of course, in the news because she's engaged to Rob Kardashian, so... Where that family's involved, I'm guessing that sex tape will see the light of day at some point.
Yeah, and I hear the quote you read from her attorney, but what I hear is leak enough of it so that the interest will be piqued by the public and somebody will pay a lot of money to release it.
I suppose that could be one way to hear that.
Yeah.
Speaking of sex tapes, another day, another lawsuit from Hulk Hogan, who's just dropped another lawsuit on the Gawker website.
Wasn't he suing for $100 million?
He won $140 million. Don't get greedy, Hulkster. Jeez. You know, worst thing that happened to you? We saw you have sex. You got $140 million for that.
I'm sorry, Ellie?
It's the worst thing that happened to me.
Hardly. There's a lot worse people you can see have sex than Hulk Hogan and that attractive young lady.
That's right, brother.
Right? Thank you, Hulkster. And he's got a pretty good-sized crank. So that's good news. That's what you want out there. That's the news. That's the story. That's the weather. You want the sports?
That's the important part.
Right. If it had been the other way around, it would have been like, oh, Hulkster.
That's sad.
Oh, we got a little dinky.
You called it a crank?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In his case, it is.
That's right, brother.
Never heard that.
Yeah, now, the Huffington Post is reporting Hulk is accusing Gawker of leaking his racist remarks. Remember those? We forgot sure. all about those.
Wow.
In the brouhaha that is his sex tape. They were contained in sealed court documents from another related case. And he claims that got him fired from the WWE. Remember when it came out, he was...
Which it did, didn't
he? He was removed from the WWE. Wow. So now he's suing them for that. Because he couldn't possibly live on $140 million
that's crazy.
For the rest of his life. Come on. Guy's got to make a living.
I thought I heard that Gawker might go bankrupt because they couldn't afford the initial judgment. Where are they going to come up with more money?
They're not. Even if he wins, this is spurious at best.
I mean, you got to be cool and eat fruit.
I will. Why don't you buy us the fruit, you rich bastard? Yeah, I mean, maybe this is his attempt to drive them completely out of business. Because I don't think he's going to get the 140 that he won in that first settlement.
No, I don't think so either.
So what's he going to get out of this? He can't get blood from a turnip, as they say.
Right. But then again, on the other hand, he's got to stay in bandanas, you know? Man needs some money.
That's true. Have you seen the price of bandanas lately? You know what it
skyrocketing?
Is? There's some sort of virus or something where they grow them.
God,
and apparently it's driving the bandana market right through the roof because
bananas.
Supply is just outstripping demand. There's some
it's
sort
not,
of virus or fungus that's killing the bandana trees. And what's that?
Bananas. Bananas. The yellow fruit.
What? Can I see your banana? Your banana mime again? In case I wasn't familiar with what a banana looked
she
like.
Drew a banana
she drew
in
like
the
a
air.
Curved shape in the air.
so I would be sure to understand she wasn't talking about a pomegranate.
Wow.
Did you get it?
I got it. I understand. Okay. Thank you for the visual aids. Now I understand what a banana is.
Are you kidding me? Get it together.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bobby Cannavale.
Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, Cannavale. Bobby Cannavale.
He was sure great in Boardwalk Empire.
Right?
Not my favorite casting of all time in vinyl.
Wow. Look at you go.
Wow.
Weren't you the one saying, hey, Ralphie, you watching that vinyl? I think you'd love it. You need to watch that vinyl.
I think there are things about it you would enjoy, yes.
Asshole.
It's not perfect.
Ray Romano is great.
Ray Romano is phenomenal at it. Yeah, and the music's great, too.
I'm three ways.
He does do that.
No, cocaine.
He does do that.
Music.
As well.
Oh, album sales.
Oh, sounds like you did see it.
Dulé Hill is 41 years old from West Wing. Did you see where Alice and Janney stopped by the White House?
That was fine.
Press.
I did
room.
Not. That's awesome.
And she got up behind the podium and kicked off the press conference like she did when she was C.J. Craig back
That's
in the
awesome.
Day with West Wing.
And no warning, Kevin. The press is just sitting there waiting for, you know, the real guy to come out.
And she just strolls up to the podium with her notes and starts conducting the press conference.
I love that. So
my
cool.
head would have exploded if I was a reporter. I want that administration to be real so badly, now more than ever.
President Bartlett.
You look back
best.
On President Bartlett and his staff there, you're like, oh, if only.
They all talk so fast, though.
And they walk a lot, too, when they're talking.
They do walk a lot.
Yeah. And Christina Hendricks. Wow, Christina Hendricks. I don't even know how to repay her for all the
lovely
joy
woman.
That right? she has given me. From
Are you
her
watching her on
Happen
Leonard, that series that's on now?
Will you just stop making things
What's
up, Bean? We have a hard time on this show just reporting facts.
That's what she's
Happen
doing
Happen Leonard is not even a sentence, let alone a show.
That's the show she's on now.
It's called Happen Leonard.
You're the worst.
And Leonard. Am I wrong, Allie? Is that what it is?
And Leonard.
I'm
saying Happen Leonard.
Me
like,
too.
Hey,
no,
Leonard,
no, no,
Leonard
no.
happened. Like, S happened.
No. Hap and Leonard.
Hap and Leonard.
Is the name of the show.
Is it a
Are they two crime-fighting dogs? Or what's happened, Leonard?
It's a series that's on, I want to say,
Sundance.
You're not giving us anything. What is
Hap
and
or Leonard?
No, she's not. She's neither
of
those.
What is Hap and or Leonard?
That's the names of two guys who I think are on the run from the law, maybe? Allie, you might know.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen it yet?
I've seen a little bit
of
it. See, you know who's in it is that Michael Kenneth Williams that we love. Chalky, also from Boardwalk Empire. He's one of the stars, and James Purefoy is the other star.
Chappie's in it.
Those are the two guys.
I love Chappie. So he just, like, rolls in. He's like, beep, boop, boop, boop.
But that's where Christina Hendricks is now. If you love her, you might want to check it out, is what I'm saying.
Jeez,
what have you thought of it so far?
I haven't.
What's that?
I'm sorry. We want your review as a guy who's seen it.
I haven't. I've just seen bits and pieces. But
well, if you're gonna look at somebody's bits and pieces, Christina Hendricks, right. Right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
This is the
yay!
This is the freshest pickle I've ever seen. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Wedding Roast 2016. We're going to give them to you for getting up this early. It sucks to get up this early. We know that. So call in now, 1-800-520-1067 if you want to win your tickets for next Saturday's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's not an easy game. 1-800- Did I say Acoustic Christmas?
Yeah.
That's why Chip almost fell to the ground.
Yeah!
This isn't Acoustic Christmas
no,
as much as it is
foolishness, you dumbass.
The Weenie Roast, yeah. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll play next.
1 week from Saturday, you guys, we're going to be out at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater for the last ever K-Rock Weenie Roast at that venue. The 23rd year we will have done it at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater at the end of that show. And it's a great lineup, too. Red Hot Chili Peppers and Weezer, Empire of the Sun, Panic at the Disco, The Lumineers, Garbage, Cold War Kids, Fits in the Tantrums, Mike Snow, Lucas Graham, The Strum Bellows, Nothing But Thieves, Bishop Briggs and Bare Hands. Part of the reason I named all those for you is because we have a way for you to win tickets right now, but it's not going to be easy. Am I right?
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning.
Good morning, K
coming on, baby.
Mr. Announcer Man, did you hear we're giving away tickets to Acoustic Christmas this morning?
I can't wait. I've got my sweater ready.
All right. The callers are on the line. They are ready to play. As I understand, this game is not easy, but maybe you could explain for them how hard it is.
We will be announcing one of the names of the bands performing at the Weenie Roast. All you need to do is identify the name of the band we say. Oh, wait a minute. They'll be backwards.
Right, so it's going to be one of the bands on the bill, but we'll say it backwards. You tell us what it is forwards. Who's our
That's
first?
That's what I just said.
Right.
So we say the name of the band.
Right, just recapping
but
for
backwards.
The callers. Yeah. It's early, and there's a lot to take in for somebody who
Not
hasn't
really.
Heard the game.
Just simple. Backwards, just say what it is.
You know you're going to acoustic, and it's backwards. That's all you need to know.
Very simple. Acoustic Christmas
the
backwards.
Right. I think it's the Weenie
Roast. Weenie
Roast,
right.
All right, who's up first?
First up is Brandon. He's from Laverne. He works at a paper mill like the old-timey men.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hardest game in the world. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, how are we playing this, Bean? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
Here you go. Here's your band.
Salad March Sub.
One more time.
Salad March Sub.
What band is that?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm blanking right now.
The Strumbellas.
Oh, thank you for calling. Thanks for playing, Brandon. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Eddie. He's from East L.A. He works for Verizon.
Hey, Eddie.
Hi, good morning.
All right, you ready for your band?
I am.
Gonna play it twice. Here you go.
Here's you.
One more time.
Here's you.
I'm going to guess Weezer.
Weezer.
Nicely done. Look at that. Nicely done.
Works for Verizon. Verizon Amphitheater. Fix! Fix!
All right. Eddie is in the drawing. Who's our next contestant, please?
Francisco from Montebello. He's a movie theater usher.
Hey, Francisco. Hi. Hello?
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good. Good. So far, Francisco only wants to talk, Kevin, when you're talking. All right, here's... Okay, here you go.
Mark Sequel.
One more time.
Mark Sequel.
Lucas Graham?
It is. Wow.
Lucas Graham.
Who would have put money down on that guy being right?
No.
Right?
I did not have a lot of confidence in you, Francisco, but well done, sir. Wow. You're in the drawing.
Next up is Chevy. He's from Norwalk.
Hey, Chevy.
Howdy. Good morning.
Howdy. Howdy to you as well. All right, you ready for your band? Here you go.
Smush Nash done that stiff.
One more time.
Smush Nash done that stiff.
Fits and the Tantrum.
Yes.
Boom. Fits and the Tantrum.
Nicely done. Mr. Announcer Man, I thought this game was supposed to be hard.
Not so much.
You had 3 out of 4 get them right. All right, who's next?
Next up is Steve from Downey. He works in a warehouse. Move that box.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Steve. You ready for your band?
Yep, absolutely.
Here you go.
Schneebrock.
One more time.
Schneebrock.
Garbage.
Yes.
Boom. Garbage.
Look, this is an easy game.
It's really the easiest game in the world.
Who knew?
I have to revisit this. All right, I think we got time for maybe a couple more if we hurry.
Nathan from Pasadena.
Hey, Nathan.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, Nathan. Nathan's talking to himself. All right, here you go. Here's your band.
Sir Beck Mealish. All
right, I screwed that up.
That sounded great. Well done.
That's on me. I thought it was over, but it kept going. Here we go.
Sir Beck Mealish. Ah, Hader.
All right, one more time.
Sir Beck Mealish. Ah, Hader.
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Boom. A lot of syllables in that band. That's a good point.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for pointing that out. Compared to, like, Weezer, that's right. Just two little syllables.
You mean the longer names have more syllables than the shorter names?
Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
But you didn't give that to him as a clue ahead of time. You just recapped.
It's an excellent point. We have time for one more contestant. Who's that going to be?
Let's talk to Cruz in Anaheim.
Hey, Cruz.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You ready for your band?
Let's do this.
There you go.
Nasavareme.
One more time.
Nasavareme.
Oh man, that Panic at the Disco.
Empire of the Sun.
Oh. Nice try there, Cruz. Thank you very much. All right, it's Nathan or Steve or Chevy or Francisco or Eddie all in the drawing to win tickets to join us on May 14th out at Irvine for the sold-out K-Rock Radio Rose 2016. Who's our winner going to be?
Francisco.
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 Oh, my God.
Francisco.
Francisco.
Congratulations.
Wow, thank you guys so much.
Thanks, and thanks for playing the game. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you.
Lots of reasons for you to stick around on today's Kevin and Bean Show. For starters, in about 15 minutes, Kevin is going to explain to us why soccer is the greatest sport in the world.
This is a goddamn thing, isn't it?
It's been a long time since I've seen him as excited about anything as he is about what happened in soccer yesterday. Also, comedian Jen Kirkman is going to be on the program today. Ralph, your buddy Teddy Sears from The Flash is going to be here.
Oh, so evil.
You love and hate Zoom, right?
We don't love him. We just hate him.
As a character, you love him, though.
Well, yeah. You would love him because he keeps the woman he loves chained up in a lair. So I think that's Bean territory right there.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I like it. And Ralph brought in some highlights of his one of his early game show appearances on TV. I'm very excited about that. First, though, how about a little Bean Makes His Guess?
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes His Guess.
Yes. 2016, even to a casual observer, has been a year where we have lost far too many celebrities.
True.
Am I right about that? It just seems like every couple of days you're losing him. And sometimes it's not a surprise. Sometimes it's Abe Vigoda or Doris Roberts, somebody that you might expect in their 90s to pass away. But then sometimes you're really, you know, shocked and saddened when you see it's a Gary Shandling or a Prince or somebody who's way too young, or your friend Fife Dog, Allie. Mm-hmm. You don't expect to lose a guy that age, right?
Well.
That's why I was surprised to see, because I hadn't thought about it in a long time, a celebrity death pool up at Ranker.com. Now, Ranker is the website we talk about sometimes where it is crowdsourced on the internet, where people can vote for which answer they choose, which answer they like the best. And they have a celebrity death pool for 2016, where they're trying to guess who is the likely celebrity to die next. Mm. That is the category. Which celebrity is likely to die next? And the hint, of course, is that many of them are elderly.
Mm.
So keep that in mind.
Look at all you people writing down names. You're cheaters. You're all cheaters.
It's not cheating. You know. It's not cheating to take
We're
notes.
We're competitors, Ralph. Cheating.
We are competitors.
Use your brain.
I don't have one.
I need a pencil.
So we're going to try to figure out the top 10 celebrity death pool 2016 entries on Ranker.com. And Kevin, you get to go first, as always. Who's your choice?
Betty White.
Oh!
Good one.
That is a fantastic guess, who shockingly is not on this list, because I guess it is believed that she will live forever.
All your little writing down in the world didn't help you people.
Sure, but that was a great guess.
Great guess. Excellent. Well done. Not on the list. You lose. Good day, sir. My turn, right?
Yes.
I want to say Ringo Starr.
Ooh, no. Why Ringo?
Because he's the eldest of the Beatles.
Okay. All right.
So lick it.
All right, he's in his 70s, but yeah, sure, people die all the time.
Why are you mocking us?
I'm not mocking.
We don't have the list in front of us.
No, I know.
It's a perfectly reasonable guess.
It is a, absolutely.
Given the fact that all the stars from the 60s who are dying around
absolutely.
Us.
And the fact that two of his bandmates are already dead.
Thank you.
It's a good guess.
I was just
lick it or bite it. What am I doing?
Both. First, then the other.
Uh-huh. All right. Ally McKay.
I don't know his name.
Good. Good guess.
Describe him for us.
Michael Douglas is the elder Douglas.
Kirk.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Yay! Number one, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Kirk Douglas is number one on the list. Why? He's 99.
Wow.
99. All right. Allie is on the board. Kevin, your guess.
Shia LaBeouf.
Come on now.
He's a cannibal.
He's a cannibal.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. No, Shia LaBeouf is not on the list. Ralph Garman.
Sean Connery.
Ooh.
Come on.
That'll
this list
great.
Blows.
Well, there are hundreds and hundreds of celebrities. Sean Connery's a good guess.
Yes, but it when is. You hear, so why isn't on the list?
When you hear the others in the top 10, you go, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense, too. Ellen McKay?
I hope not, but Clint Eastwood.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, good.
If you're just joining us, we're playing B-Mix's Guest Celebrity Death Pool 2016 on Ranker.com. Allie's leading 1-0-0.
Game called Name Old People is the name of this game. Just name some old people.
Unless there's some long shots, you know, like The Rock.
What is wrong
Why
with you?
Why would you even say that?
It was his birthday yesterday.
50 years.
What is wrong
it's
with you?
It's not expected, but I'm saying someone's going to come out of the blue.
Probably not on this list.
Right.
I'm
just saying.
If you're crowdsourcing a list,
I'm sticking with my guess.
What? Okay. I'm sorry The Rock is not on the list. Ralph Garvin.
Boy, oh boy.
Let me give you guys a hint. These are the ages of the people in the top 10, okay? We had 99 at number one with Kirk Douglas. Mm-hmm. 98, 89, 91, 92, 89, 81, 50, 73, and 77. Those are the ages in the rest of the top 10.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't help when you give us ages when Betty White wasn't on the list.
Yeah.
It doesn't make
any
difference.
I don't know old people.
Right?
This is hard.
Old people. Okay. How about the architect of rock and roll, Little Richard? Legendary musician, Little Richard.
I'm sorry. That's an outstanding guess. Not on the list.
This blows. This
stupid
game
list.
Blows.
Allie McKay?
Cat Williams. Be the 50-year-old? I don't know.
That's not bad.
All right. Yeah. I can see you guys have given up. Here's what's on the list. Number 10 on the Celebrity Death Pool 2016, Tommy Chong at 77.
Oh, bite me.
That is so
That's
dumb.
Stupid. Ridiculous.
By the way, not my list.
Hate your list. By the editor. Hate it.
Number 9, Muhammad Ali. Number 73. Oh, I think because of so many health problems he has as a result of Parkinson's. Yeah. Number 8, the 50-year-old is Charlie Sheen. By the way, which sort of makes sense when he's HIV positive, right? Number
and a
7.
Drug addict, more importantly.
Sure. And a drug addict, yes. Yeah. Number 7, 81-year-old Charles Manson. Number 6, 89-year-old Jerry Lewis. Number 5, 92-year-old Bob Barker.
Come on.
What's
Who thinks
Bob
about these
Barker?
People?
That's my thing.
I haven't thought about that dude in years.
Since I had my dog neutered.
Number 4, 91-year-old Jimmy Carter.
What?
Number 3, 89-year-old Hugh Hefner.
Come on.
Not a bad guess. And number 2 on the list was Zsa Zsa Gabor, 98-year-old Zsa Zsa Gabor, number 2. So there you go. That's the celebrity death.
Out of the three of us, Allie got one.
She got the number
horrible.
One.
Horrible.
Good game. Good
Congratulations, and thanks for playing the game.
B makes us guess, yeah.
Hello, 6.7 K Rock is K R O Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:37.
So let me get this straight: the perennial losers in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns, are 200-1 to win the Super Bowl next year.
Yes.
200-1. That's about as long an odds as you'll ever see in sports. But what you're telling me is that something happened yesterday where a team won a title at 5,000-1 odds.
Yes, and do you think that at some point that was almost a joke by the odds makers, like
yes.
a safe joke?
Yes, because they had to put something down on the piece of paper, so they thought we might as well put 1,000,000-1. I mean, 5,000-1 are odds that no one in the history of sports has ever come close to paying off on.
And this team, Leicester City, plays in Britain in the English Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
They have been ahead since January. And every single week, it's just like Donald Trump, where you go, okay, that's funny and all, but there's no way come the end of the season this team's going to be on top. It's
Have
just
they
not possible.
Done something different, got different players, that type of
they
thing?
They brought in some different players, but here's the thing about English Premier Football, and that's that they have two different leagues, actually three. They have an A league, which is all the best teams, and then at the end of this year, the bottom four and the top four of the B league switch, so you can lose your status as an A league and go down to the B league. And then they bring up the winners from the B League to the A League, which would be great for like the NBA, for like the 76ers this past season would probably be relegated to the B League.
So they would become a minor league team, basically.
Yes, yeah, so would the Lakers. And then whoever has won the minor leagues would come up and play in them. So this is the team that did that.
So in order to win the Premier League,
yes.
you need the best record total?
Yeah, you need the most points.
Okay.
It's the same as getting into the playoffs in the NHL or whatever.
But there's no playoffs.
No, there's no playoffs.
Okay.
Right. Correct. But I'm saying it's just on points.
Okay.
Just go straight on point. How many games did you win? How many games you tie? How many you lose?
So the teams that we always hear about, the Chelseas and the Arsenals and the Manchester United and teams like that,
yes,
they're all in this same league and none of them won the title because this team did.
And this is the most amazing thing is that teams like Manchester United and Chelsea and people, they have all the money in the world. They attract all the top talent in
billion
the world.
Billion-dollar payrolls, right?
What league are the Tottenham Hotspurs?
They were in second place until yesterday.
Oh.
And they needed to win. So that was just this wild guess, wasn't it?
Really was.
That was the game yesterday to determine if anybody could catch Leicester because they're, I think, 8 points ahead. So this team needed 3 points each game. There's three games remaining until yesterday.
Okay.
So they needed that to catch Leicester. They tied, which means nobody can now mathematically catch Leicester, even though there's like two more games left. They could lose by 100 goals each game and still win the championship.
Here's where I was very confused yesterday. So the team that won the championship was watching at home on TV.
Yes, yes.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, again, it's sort of like when you're getting into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have maybe 99 points, but it depends on what another team does. So the game yesterday was just to see if Tottenham Hotspur could in any I'm not even sure it's Tottenham Hotspur now. Aston Villa. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Second place.
Because they're mathematically ineligible,
There's no way they can catch Leicester now. There's zero chance that they can catch Leicester. So they literally won while they were watching.
So here's my question. How do they celebrate? Like, do they, like, a few days later, they're like, hey, let's have a trophy and walk around?
No,
I feel like they got, I don't know.
Gypped because there's two more games?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody else is mathematically eliminated. But the fact that these guys who were just, they were the odds-on favorite to get relegated, to go from the main league to the minor leagues. That was the beginning of the season.
Okay.
And then come January, they started winning every game. And every week it was the same. It was, okay, all right, that's great. Good for you, little guys.
Right.
But stop acting like you're going to win it.
Some young players who have just caught fire, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they have a really good goal scorer named Vardy, who I think wasn't even playing in the A, B, or C league, I think. And they got him for like a tremendously small amount of money. I think their payroll was $30 million. And I think some of the other clubs are closer to $300 million.
Wow.
So it's like the Yankees playing some new team that comes into the MLB. It's crazy.
So do teams like Chelsea and those teams that everybody knows that they think are great, they feel like complete ass right now?
I would guess so. But they've all been beaten by Leicester. So they really can only feel, I mean, Leicester's is a team that was ahead this whole year.
That's crazy.
It's insanity. And 5,000-1 were the odds.
Remarkable scenes. Remarkable scenes. Willian over this free kick. And he sends it short to Hazard, who will go to the corner. Leicester City have fulfilled the most fantastical football fable in the history of English football. The Fearless Foxes have won the title for the first time in their 132-year history. Leicester City are the Premier League champions. Look at the scenes. They can barely contain their joy. 5,000-1. At the start of the season, unprecedented scenes in Leicester. Leicester City are the Barclays Premier League champions with two games to spare. Utterly remarkable.
How many people put money on Leicester City at 5,000-1?
I hope people did.
To find out. There has to be somebody.
47 people did.
Oh, you know the answer to that.
47 varying amounts because it's gambling, so they can put however much they want. But one guy took a payout early. Because halfway through the season, no one thought Leicester was going to hold on. So he was like, okay, well, my 50-pound bet is now worth 72,000 pounds.
And that was getting out early.
Yes.
Oh,
it would have been worth had he waited 250,000 pounds.
Oh, my God.
But he got 72,000.
I feel like there's a homer for every team that will put money on, regardless of the odds, just because why not, right?
That's what I do in Vegas, it doesn't matter how the Arizona Cardinals are or the Kings are. Mm-hmm. If it's my team, I just put, you know, whatever, $20 on it.
Because it's kind of just a way of saying, I believe in you.
Right, but 5,000 to 1 is the longest shot I've ever heard of in sports. I don't think that even exists anywhere close.
I don't think there are odds like that in America, are there? I don't think they know of. They go that high. I did see that Adele was tweeting about it. Everybody was tweeting about it yesterday. All of a sudden, there are a lot of new Leicester fans, it seems like.
It's crazy.
132 years.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Hopefully there are Cubs fans listening right now who, you know, that will give them some comfort too, because they're, what are the Cubs at? Like 106, 107 years or something like that? So just hang on, you guys. Just hang on.
You just got another like 30 years. Well, those 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53. We're getting a lot of requests to continue our soccer talk.
No, we're not.
I was answering the business line, Ralph, and they were like, hey.
People love it?
You should talk.
Well, it should be on the business line because it shouldn't be on the sports line, that's for sure.
Soccer more.
It's the worst sport ever.
Okay, but 5,000 to 1 odds.
Well, that, you know what? So is the lottery. Let's talk about people who win lotteries then, because it's the same thing.
No, because
it's like,
it isn't.
It's a million. It's 150 million to 1. Woo!
Right, but they are not doing anything. That's complete chance.
This Did these guys win a championship game?
They won a championship.
Did they win a championship game? Did they play a game to win the championship?
They played a lot of games to win a championship, and they won a lot of them. They only lost three, since Christmas.
Were they
playing? Is there a playoff system and a championship game? No.
Worst sport ever, then. Slam dunk. It's just, no, not a good thing.
It did make me sad. They were celebrating in a room, and they weren't
out
on a field.
Well, they're allowed out of the room.
But I feel like they should be on a field playing, and then they won, and then, ooh, I hold a trophy. Not like, hey, do you want a soda while we're celebrating? That's sad.
Let's hope this team loses so then we can crown ourselves the champion. Yeah. Not that we won anything, but they tied something.
As Americans, we're just used to a playoff system.
Worst sport ever. No doubt. Hands down.
5,000 to 1, though, Ralph, as a gambler.
Right. Well, let's play.
Crazy.
Let's take calls and people play roulette and win on a roulette wheel.
That's complete chance. This is a sports team that won a lot of games.
But only won because other people didn't do something.
Yeah, in the final game, mathematically,
some other team
was eliminated.
Failed, so they win by default.
Yes.
Default! You hear what I'm saying?
Right, but that
to win a championship by default.
That's the same thing with hockey when they're going into the playoffs. Same thing.
You don't win the Stanley Cup by default ever.
No, agreed.
If the Pittsburgh Penguins don't win, the Chicago Blackhawks don't get to sit at home and say, now we get to raise the cup because this other team didn't do very well.
Kevin, he's getting purple.
I mean, technically, that's true.
It's purple. Awful.
He's blowing a
gasket. It's awful.
I am terrified. Yeah, well, I think maybe he's going to die.
Admit that it's awful.
It's not awful. It's unbelievable. I love it.
Admit that it's awful.
I don't have to. I love it.
That someone can win a championship because somebody else didn't do so hot. They only tied, so now we're the winners because they're tires. Worst sport ever.
That was underwhelming.
All right. Let's move on with the showbiz beat here on K-Rock for Tuesday morning. What else is going on?
All right. Let's talk about something that's good. How about horse racing?
Yay!
At Santa Anita Racetrack. Maybe you'll get paid off if the fourth horse, if the other three horses fall over and don't win, then you get to win by default. That would make for an exciting race.
But only if you weren't running that race.
Right. If you're sitting in the paddock eating hay, watching the other horses run, and if they don't do well, then you get a sugar cube. Ah, bite me, soccer. Santa Anita Racetrack this Saturday. It is the legendary K-Rock Brew Fest. So much fun. You get beer. You get a concert. You get horse racing. You get wagering. You get a beautiful day out in the sunshine at the infield at Santa Anita Racetrack. You can't ask for a better day than this. It's happening on Saturday. Gates open at 11 a.m. First race starts at noon. Just $5 to get in. 40 local breweries. And then you get the lovely company of Stryker, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning, Super Steve, and Chip. And maybe Beer Mug? Maybe not Beer Mug. I don't know. There's some kind of debate going on whether he's going to be
I don't know. Yesterday after the show, he was like, I don't know what's happening.
What about me? Am I supposed to be there? Beer Mug, you'll be there or not? All right, nobody's listening.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Are you going to be there or not there?
I am.
Okay, well, tell him to put your name on the list, then, would you?
I've done that 5 times already.
Well, have Johnny Chicago tell him. He's more intimidating.
Beer Mug not included.
Beer Mug's not included now?
No, he is, yeah.
I feel like they're not putting the name on the list because they want people to show up. That would be my guess.
Damn, Daniel. Anyway, I got tickets to give you a 4-pack of VIP backstage tickets to this K-Rock Brewfest. Two lucky winners will get to take three friends, so it's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to go, call now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two lucky winners at that phone number get a 4-pack of VIP tickets for this Saturday's K-Rock Brewfest at Santa Anita Racetrack.
Wow, awesome.
It's a good, good time. Speaking of sports, how about this? Space Jam 2!
No.
Space Jam 2.
Nope.
This has been rumored, I feel like, for the last 10 years we've been hearing this might happen.
Well, it's not rumored anymore. Now it's official. Space Jam 2 will be directed by Justin Lin. And feature LeBron James and the Looney Tune characters.
No way. Not ever.
It's great casting. Yeah, perfect choice.
I think it's going to be better than the original.
I do too.
Because LeBron James is so much more entertaining as a performer than Michael Jordan ever was. So, I think that's good stuff. I'm looking
great
forward
idea.
To it. Well, you knew this was going to happen. People are starting to come out of the woodwork with their hands out for Prince's fortune.
Oh, no.
Woman who claims to be Prince's half-sister has come forward looking for her share of his estate.
Now, in Minnesota, half-sisters are eligible for that,
I think anyone who's a sibling gets a piece because he has no surviving heirs and no wife.
Yeah, half-siblings are treated the same as full-siblings in the state of Minnesota.
Darcelle Johnston is her name. She says Prince's mother was also her mother, but they had different fathers. So the administrator of the estate now has to look into this. But if that's true, that'll be a 7-way split instead of a 6-way split. Prince has one natural sister, Tika Nelson, and the rest are all half-siblings. So everybody's got their hand out, including an unidentified Minnesota man who's come forward claiming to be the secret son of Prince.
Oh, of course. Me too.
He contacted a law firm called the Air Hunters International.
That a law firm called the Air Hunters?
Air Hunters, as in heir to a to a windfall or heir to the throne. H-E-I-R, Hunters International. They're a law firm that searches for heirs to estates. He called them and said, my mom had an affair with Prince in the 80s, and I am his son, and could you please go forward and get DNA testing, blah, 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 to prove paternity. So, looks like he wants a little something-something, too.
We're still doing all of our law business with Ratchet and Clank, though, right?
Yeah, they're still our attorneys. They're the best.
Exclusive providers.
And this guy may be the coolest 75-year-old retired farmer ever, if that's a category. His name's Gene Hansen of Edgeley, North Dakota. I don't know if you saw it or not, but he used his tractor to carve Prince's famous symbol into his cornfield.
Okay.
As a tribute to Prince, he went out there with his tractor and did a perfect replica of his logo. It's about the size of a football field and is clearly visible from the air when you fly over. You can see Prince's symbol in the cornfield.
Very impressive.
For a 75-year-old farmer to give a rat's ass about Prince.
Yeah.
Got to give him mad props.
Way to go, Gene.
I'm going to be a cool old man someday.
Oh, you missed some of that yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, how cool he's going to be?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be the coolest 100-year-old ever.
He's got a lot of cool to make up before he gets
sure
to 100. I don't know if he'll ever get there.
Sure
does. It's so much cool to try to get before 100.
Who's going
to
be less cool if he lives to 100 than Bean?
But don't you get automatic cool
Bean's
points?
Bean's going to walk around with a shotgun, just like anybody that comes in his view. Boom!
If you're an old person, I feel like you get extra credit just for still just being alive. If you say something,
doesn't make you cool just because people give you credit for being alive.
But here's
I
my
still
hope
don't want to hear them talk about checkers and you know Mount McKinley,
especially,
or whatever.
Especially 100-year-old Bean.
Yeah, can you imagine the random S that's going to come out of his mouth when he's 100? Do you know how Formica was invented? That's not going to make you cool. It's going to make you boring. It's going to make someone want to put a pillow over your face in the home. Just press down.
We may have to fire up the tube of history and check in with Future Bean and prove you wrong, because I'm telling you, I'm going to be the coolest.
Right.
Any minute now, I'm going to flip that switch and turn cool.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christina Hendricks is 41 years old today. You know her best, of course, as Joan from Mad Men.
That girl is mega hot.
Yes, she is. Dule Hill's 41. And Bobby Cannavale. Hey, how you do, Bobby Cannavale? I never see you no more around the pizza parlor. Why you never come by, Bobby Cannavale? He's 46 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ah, yes, the beards.
All right, hang on, Ben. Hang on. We'll get to beard talk in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, I was watching a video interview with Taylor Swift yesterday, and one of the things that came up was her song Blank Space from last year, her big number one song Blank Space from last year. That was the latest in a long line of misheard lyrics. Everybody who heard, most people who heard that song sang along with the lyric, instead of got a long list of ex-lovers, they sang all the lonely Starbucks lovers. A lot of people were convinced that she was giving some sort of a shout-out to Starbucks in the song.
Well, those people are dumb.
Well, it's not uncommon for people to think the lyrics are one thing and have them turn out to be another. And then oftentimes you're very surprised when you realize, I've been singing that song wrong my whole life. And it's been a long time since we've addressed these misheard lyrics on the Kevin DeBean Show, but I think it's time.
Yeah, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to start with Muggs. We're going to play a clip from Van Halen, Panama, and then we're going to ask you what you thought they were saying.
I used to think that was Cannonball! Cannonball!
Which, by the way, makes about as much sense as singing Panama, really, when you think about it. It's not like there's any kind of clue in the rest of the lyrics.
It doesn't sound like they're saying Cannonball. That's what's weird to me.
Until you get it in your mind that it does.
I guess until you get it in your mind one time.
Yep. And then if you never see it written, then you never see it written down. You never watch the video with seeing it on the screen or whatever. Then, yeah, for the rest of your life, it's Cannonball.
Oh, that song made Mugg so happy.
I got to go get in my pool.
Flowing.
I got to swim.
Elton John, Tiny Dancer is one that people seem to be having a lot of trouble with as well. On the close-up,
Tiny Dancer. Wait, that's Tiny Dancer? I thought that was Tony Danza.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Does it, everybody.
Tony Danza. This is why Bean and I don't know, Allie, if you're good at this or not, but just would never win any of those lyric games.
No.
Ever, ever.
Terrible at knowing lyrics.
All right, Omar, you're next.
Okay.
Man for Man did Blinded by the Light.
Yep, love that song.
All right, here's the clip. Wrapped up like a douche under the runner in the night. Okay.
Wrapped up like a douche.
Right. That's what I thought for a long time.
Yeah, until Ralph says he's actually saying douche. It's douche, but he's saying douche in the song.
Well, it sounds that way.
Because that's what he's saying.
But here's the thing about guys. This is what's funny about guys for the most part is that you're not going to go check.
No.
You
no,
think
absolutely.
You know those
I'm
words.
I'm rocking out like, wrapped up like a douche. Yeah, I love it.
Does it make sense to me? Nope. I don't care.
But love it.
Yeah. Allie has AC/DC. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play the clip and then you tell us what you thought it was.
Yeah, that's obviously Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chief. It's Thunder Chief, obviously.
You thought it was Thunder Chief?
Yeah. The Thunder Chief is doing some dirty stuff, you guys, so watch out for the Thunder Chief.
What is a Thunder Chief?
You know.
The Chief of Thunder.
Right?
Let's listen to it again and see if, I can hear Thunder Chief.
Yeah,
I guess so. I could actually hear it that time.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. All right, Omar also has 21 Pilots.
Yeah, and I still hear it.
You still hear it, even though you know it's wrong?
Even though I know it's wrong, yeah, I still hear it. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days. They're saying dope days.
To the good dope days. Nope,
they're saying the good old days,
good
I guess.
Good old days.
I still hear
because
good
he,
dope days.
Well, sort of says it that
right?
way. A little bit. Wish we could turn back time
to the good old days. Yes.
Totally, right?
Totally dope.
He's 100% saying dope.
Right? Yeah.
Now I'm with Omar.
Totally.
Remember the good dope days?
I do.
Who remembers them more
than Omar?
They're
still happening now.
So 1-800-520-1067. It's been a long time since we've taken your calls on misheard lyrics. You got it wrong, and then you found out you got it wrong. Let's try Joseph LaMorata. He's up first. He's on line 3 to get us started here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
So my wife misunderstood Rage Against the Machine, Renegade the Funk. Mm-hmm. She used to say, when a redneck needs to F.
That's what? She thought that Rage Against the Machine were talking about rednecks effing?
Yeah. For the longest time. I finally corrected her, and she's like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah, it does make a lot more sense to be singing about the Renegades of Funk, I guess. All right, good call. Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate that. Let's try Jeff, Los Angeles, line one, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's up?
Talking about misheard lyrics, what did you have?
When I was younger, I used to hear the Blue Oyster Cult song, Don't Fear the Reaper, mm-hmm. as Don't Steal a Reefer.
Oh, also
don't
good
steal
advice.
Steal a reefer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Your whole life, pretty much, you thought that?
Yeah. More cowbell. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Maria Van Nuys, line two up next. Taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. By the way, you can always text the Kevin and Bean Show, too, at the number 2KROQ 25767. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Good morning, guys. So my mom heard Madonna's Like a Virgin. Mm-hmm. She would sing Like a Bird Sings.
Like a Bird Sings?
Yes, she would walk around the house singing that, and I looked at her one day, and I'm like, what are you saying? And she's like a bird sings. I go, that is not the lyrics. She did not believe me. I had to get the album and show her the lyrics, and she was like, oh, what do you know?
That's so weird.
Touched for the very first time would have been my first clue. But
you don't know if a bird that's singing is getting touched.
You're right.
Right?
You're right.
The whole wedding dress thing was another clip.
Right, sure, there's that.
All right, Maria, thank you for the call. Samantha in Ontario writes in, until like a month ago, I could have sworn Tom Petty was singing Running Down the Drain instead of Running Down a Dream. I was in total shock. Sorry, Samantha, to break it to you. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on camera. Talking misheard lyrics here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Jasmine writes in, my high school boyfriend thought that the Smashing Pumpkins, instead of saying Despite All My Rage at the beginning of Bullet with Butterfly Wings, were saying The Spider Marines. Now, that doesn't even make...
The Spider Marines.
That doesn't make any sense, right? The Spider Marines? Why would you think that? And I want to thank Natalie for writing in to remind us, by the way, that there is an actual word for a misheard lyric. It is called a mondegreen. So we're talking about mondegreens, apparently.
Nobody
on the
knows that word.
Morning. Well, Natalie does, because she just told us. So
I heard monkey green.
That's what I heard, too.
1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls on misheard lyrics, and we're starting with whom?
Juan and Corona.
Hey, Juan.
How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, good, good. Yeah, my miss lyric was when I was in eighth grade, I thought keep them separated when it says take them out. I thought it said drink your milk.
You thought the offspring was saying drink your milk?
Yeah, you know, I said drink your milk. You got to keep them separated.
Drink your milk. I'm separated.
Oh, so instead of take them out,
you're not alone. A
woman
drink
named, your milk!
A woman named Cynthia on Twitter tweeted the exact same thing.
What?
Yes.
How about that?
You guys? I'm not wrong here.
You are wrong, first of all. Thank you, Juan, for the call. We appreciate it. All right, let's go to another Rage Against the Machine call. Which line is it on? Two? Victor in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Amon Green. Did I say that right?
So... It was Rage Against the Machine's Bulls on Parade. For whatever reason, I thought it was Closed Out for Rain, like a baseball game.
Closed Out for Rain. Let's listen. Closed Out for Rain.
Yeah, I like that better.
Except for Closed Out doesn't make sense.
Rage songs were always about sporting events that they couldn't get to.
Right.
Sure. Thank you for the call.
Well, at least you had a good reason to back it up.
All right, let's go to Joshua in Corona. He's got some misheard lyrics from Imagine Dragons. Hey. Hey, Joshua.
Hey, guys. Long time listener. Glad to be on the air.
Thank you, sir. What did you misunderstand?
Hey, Imagine Dragons, Radioactive. Yeah,
okay, what did you think?
She was way off. She thinks it's Ready to Rock You, Ready to Rock You.
Oh, instead of Radioactive, the title?
Yeah, it was the title of the song.
That is odd. Doesn't sound like rock you at all. Do you have time to get out, Joshua?
Oh,
I'm saying.
I think I'll have to play it for her again.
See? All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to line five, a little Fall Out Boy action. This is Jason in Los Angeles. Hi, Jason.
Hey, good morning, ladies. Allie.
Talking misheard lyrics. What's yours?
I botched an entire line in Fall Out Boy in This Ain't a Scene. I always thought it said, I believe in love and the lives are evil. Oh, so educate. It actually says, I'm a leading man and the lives I weave are oh so intricate.
Wow, wow. You just made up your whole other song.
Say yours again.
The worst part is that I found out it was wrong because you guys actually gave me tickets to Acoustic Christmas last year. And as they're singing, I hear the line, educate. Well, it's actually intricate. So I Googled it. I'm like, oh, no. And I realized I botched the entire line for about 7-8 years.
Oh, did you leave the concert just in shame?
Oh, of course not.
Okay.
What? Tell us your line again, because then I'm going to play the clip. What did you think it said?
I believe in love,
uh-huh,
and the lives are evil.
Oh.
I can see it.
I can see it.
I can see it. Yeah. I don't think that's crazy at all. Thank you very much for the call, sir. Appreciate that.
All right. Let's go to Sarah in Granada Hills, talking about lyrics you misunderstood pretty much your whole life. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, yes. Actually, it was my fiancé. He understood Last Christmas by Wham.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, to save me from tears, the Chevy Frontier.
He thought Wham was doing a commercial?
Hey, yeah, they may need the money at this point. It's the 21st century. Come on.
This year, to save me from tears.
This year, the Chevy Frontier.
And
go out and buy one.
He'll give it to someone special. He's going to give the Chevy Frontier to someone special. Makes perfect sense.
Sarah, is there still time to cancel the wedding?
George, no. Michael, giving away new cars. This is such a happy day today. Thank you for that.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:35.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this text from the 818. My mom still thinks that Gwen Stefani's Ain't No Holla Back Girl is Ain't No Harlem Black Girl, says Jamie from Agoura Hills. Well,
wow.
Sorry to break it to you, Bob, but you got that one wrong. Hey, comedian Jen Kirkman joins us later on this morning. Also, we got more tickets for you to win for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016, which is coming up a week from Saturday at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. We'll have those tickets for you at 9 a.m. All right, Kevin, the moment you've been waiting for.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
It's Beard Talk. Hall of Fame baseball announcing legend Vin Scully is in the booth for his final season with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He has been calling the Dodgers for how many years, Allie? Is it 67 years, I want to say?
Sure.
Sure.
Is that about right? 67 yeah. years, I think? And he's the greatest of all time, and he proved it again Saturday night when he was calling the Dodgers-Padres game, and he decided that he was going to educate us on the history of beards.
I'm not going to do it now because there's two out and the base is empty, but sometime during the game, if you've been like the way I have been, looking at players with these big beards, I decided I'm going to do a little research on beards. So during the game, yeah, there's plenty of them around. We'll tell you a couple of stories as we go through it. Two down, second inning, no score.
All right. What do you suppose? Look, his explanation, if I take it at face value, hey, a lot of people sure have beards. What's up with that?
Right.
I mean, did he really then go and deep dive on the history of beards? I mean, I guess he must have.
I haven't heard the other 4.5 minutes, but.
But why would he do that?
I was thinking it was like a playoff beard conversation, but no, it's just beards
just
in
the
general.
History of beards. All right, well, maybe it will reveal itself as we hear more from Vin.
Okay.
And first pitch, fastball for a strike. First of all, they say way back to the dawn of humanity, beards evolved, number one, because ladies like them.
Okay, so. He's not really? Just talking about what's going on with beards in 2016 America. He's
right.
taking us back to the dawn of history. Like, Vin Scully is spending time thinking about who grew the first beard and why. That's where his head's at.
And number two, it was the idea of frightening off adversaries and wild animals. There's the one strike pitch swung on and missed strike two. In fact, it was so serious, if you look it up, there's a divine mandate for beards in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. No balls and two strikes.
Don't you love how seamlessly he's able to carry on two conversations at once?
That is Look.
Wow.
Look, I'm aware of my skill set and my problems, and I should not have Vin Scully's name in my mouth. So you can all make up your own minds, but he's talking about beards.
He's talking about beards, but he's doing it beautifully. And he's doing it at the same time.
Yes.
The same time he's calling a major league professional sporting event.
Yes.
Stripling from the first base side of the rubber. Strike two pitch to Norris is promptly hit into right field, and it lands in front of Kike for a base hit. So Norris, a two-out single to right, and that will bring up Jamile Weeks.
Tell us about beards.
Jamile Weeks.
There became a time where Greek dramatists mined the popular prejudice against clean-shaven men. Back then, clean-shaven men were looked as the, maybe effeminate. And then along came Alexander the Great.
Right. Alexander the Great turned everything around for the beards.
I don't know if there's any kind of Vin Scully bingo game we can play when we listen to him call games, but if you had money down on Alexander the Great's name coming up during that game Saturday night, you were a big winner. Let's see what he has to say about Alex.
That's another story. Alexander the Great was not only great, but he also thought he was the greatest looking man in the world. Oh, absolutely. Stripling ready, delivers, gets the strike. And Alexander the Great said, there is no reason to cover up my beautiful face with a beard. And so all of a sudden, it started to disappear. One strike. Stripling ready, looks over at Norris, back to the hitter, and that's lined into left field for a base hit. Norris goes to second. So back-to-back base hits with two out. And the batter will be Adam Rosales.
By the way, I love that Vin is not panicking. That since we've been listening to this clip, I feel like the Dodgers are terrible. I feel like everyone who gets up there is getting on base. Vin doesn't seem rattled by it at all because he's doing a deep dive on Alexander the Great's facial hair. He manages to keep everything together.
After Alexander the Great wanted clean-shaven people, it got so that the University of Paris banned long-bearded men from the lecture halls. That's back in 1533. And a few years later, the city's chief court outlawed beards on judges and advocates. And then you got to be the Russian strongman who liked a shaved face but long wigs. The first pitch in for a strike.
There have to be people tuning in going, wait, is he calling a baseball game? Or is this some sort of a TED talk? Like, what's happening right now? I have more if you guys are still
with us. Yes!
Okay.
Did you know that the first woman, female king of Egypt, wore a fake beard to convince people that she was a man? Yeah, her name was Hatshepsut. Here's the strike one pitch on the way. Stripling's pitch in the dirt. Throw down at Utley. Not in time.
I think that may be somebody else on base, by the way. But Vin is not deterred because he has more beard facts.
One ball and one strike to count. Then, of course, you come to Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, right.
Who was clean shaven.
Really?
And a little 11-year-old girl named Grace Bedell. She said to Mr. Lincoln, if you would grow a beard, my daddy has a beard, and my mother will tease him to vote for you. So Abraham Lincoln grew a beard. And, of course, that came up when his chief rival said to him, you're two-faced. And Abraham Lincoln said, if I were two-faced, would I have the face that I'm wearing now?
Come on!
So he answered him pretty well. 2-1 to count.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of all time. Vin Scully, this has been Beard Talk.
In 1976, the Supreme Court ruled that Americans do not have a legal right to grow beards or mustaches as they choose if their employer demands a clean face.
Oh, really?
Ah, yes, the beard.
The beard.
Ah,
the beard.
Yes.
Ah, the beard. Thank you, Vin.
One season too late. He was so close.
Not at all.
He was so close to going out in a blaze of glory.
Don't you dare.
He was one season off.
I will not let you stand.
You're wrong.
That says a lot more about baseball than it does Vin Scully.
Doesn't it? Isn't that the
Any
truth?
Any other sport? Could he work that story in? No
way. Because there's sport to talk about in other sports. It isn't a day at the park. It's not a picnic. Baseball is basically a picnic with hats, with caps, and a ball.
And beard talk.
He is a national treasure, and we're all very lucky.
Yes, we're all very lucky to have him.
I think he's great, but I'm just saying one season. He just stayed one season too long.
I'm enjoying him so much this year.
Then Beard Talk came.
Love
I want the Dodgers to win the World Series, and I want Vin to have a heart attack making the final call.
What?
That's how I let it go.
What?
Because he dies in the booth doing what he loves, seeing his dreams come true.
Real dark. You're an awful person.
Why do you want him to die?
I don't want him to die, but he's
win the World Series, and then he lives for a long, long time afterwards.
He retires, but he's alive.
Why can't that happen?
That went south so fast!
I think he would be
happy. Stop talking.
They win the World Series, and he steps away and says,
he retires.
I've had a great
time. Basks in the glory of his amazing career for years.
Strokes out.
No, he doesn't.
Why is that funny to you?
It's not the perfect ending.
No, because, all right, I've said too much.
Yeah, really? About 5 minutes ago.
Five years ago.
For another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's up, Ralph?
Man.
You guys are with me, though, right?
No, not even a little bit.
The worst person ever. I saw Civil War last night.
You did?
Captain America Civil War.
Oh, this is as good as it looks.
Does the North still win?
Oh, Lord.
Let's just pretend the bad man doesn't exist for a little
bit. Stop talking.
It is a smashing success on every possible level.
Wow.
It works minute one till the post-credit scene. It is a joy. Just a beautifully acted, written, directed joy. It is an unmitigated success.
I got to tell you, most of the time when you look forward to a movie this much, you think, oh, a lot of times it doesn't live up to the hype. That's the problem.
Boy,
too much
is
hype.
It great. It's just a great film. On top of being what may be the best superhero comic book movie ever, maybe. It's certainly up there for consideration if it's not. Beyond that fact, it is a great movie. It's just a brilliantly executed piece of film work. I'll tell you, boy, was it a joy. And it's 2.5 hours, and it feels like it's about 8 minutes. Just flies by, and you care, and the characters are well-defined, and everybody's got a legitimate motivation for what they're doing, and you get wrapped up in the story. The action sequences are perfectly paced and perfectly placed, so you're not it's not overkill. You don't get numb to it at all. When the fighting kicks in, it matters. It's just pitch perfect as one of these summer blockbuster films. Boy, is it great. I think you're everybody's
does Captain
really
America win
it.
The fight and then die of a heart attack right then?
And then he strokes out. And then Tony Stark has an embolism. And it's perfect. Anyway, I just wanted to... We'll talk more about it on Friday. Boy, man.
That's
good news. I love that film. We're also talking last show was beat about Space Jam 2.
Yeah.
Broke the news. It looks like it's going to happen with LeBron James as the star. Can't wait for that. I think it's a great choice because he is wildly entertaining. He was so good in that Amy Schumer movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. Wrecked.
He was great in that. One of our favorite listeners, Edwin, writes in. He said, you may not know this, but the Clippers' Blake Griffin was originally considered for Space Jam 2, but in that version, the Earth loses to the aliens, and so the world is destroyed. It did not score well with focus groups, and LeBron was brought in to replace Blake. Blake did get to say the Clippers' signature line, however, we tried before the aliens destroy the Earth. So I can see maybe why that version is not going to take off so well.
That was the King of Mexico's response to the Clippers getting bounced.
Yes, it was.
Well, we tried.
Well, we tried. That's their signature line. It is official. It's going to happen. There were rumors, and now it's faux real. The classic rock show happening in the desert there in Indio at Coachella has been announced. All the details have been announced for what they're calling Desert Trip.
The name Desert of the concert. Trip.
Desert Trip. Mm.
Okay.
Kind of harkens back to the 60s, right? Come on, trip out, dude.
Oh, okay.
Take a trip. Desert Trip.
Okay.
For those who are calling it Old Chilla, I think you're ill-advised. Mm.
Well, who's playing? And then we'll decide which name is better.
Here's your confirmed lineup. A little band called the Rolling Stones. A gentleman named Paul McCartney. Another gentleman named Bob Dylan. Neil Young. Roger Waters, and The Who. Are all set to play at the Empire Field.
So just
India.
Them.
Just those people.
I see.
Just those performers.
So it's a weekend? It's not.
It is a 3-day
oh, wow.
festival.
So the concert kicks off on Friday night with the Stones and Bob Dylan and his band. Then on Saturday night, you get Paul McCartney, Neil Young, and Promise of the Real. And then on Sunday night, the closer is Roger Waters from Pink Floyd and The Who.
Huh.
So there you go. That's your lineup. So all the details, you can go to deserttrip.com to get all your details. But it's not cheap, as you can imagine. General admission's $400 for three-day passes. If you want a reserve spot, it's anywhere from $700 to $1,600. And if you want to stand in the pit, it's $1,600. But they have hotel packages and things like that and stuff. Look, I know it's not for everyone, but I think people who would just dismiss this this concert event simply because the people playing it have been around for a while, that would be silly to do. Kevin, I just think it's...
I'm not going, but it sounds fun for people who will.
I mean, if you like classic rock, I mean, that would...
Bean, do you hope Paul McCartney dies on stage?
That's the, that's the Mount Rushmore, really, of classic
rock.
He's
on stage, though. Isn't that how you want him to go?
No,
if
you got,
if you got the Beatle, you got the Stones, you got The Who, you got Bob Dylan, you got one of the guys from Pink Floyd. I mean, come on. That's it. That's the...
It's a strong lineup. It's very impressive they were able to organize this.
Yeah.
So. And by the way, that $400...
It's October, by the way, in case you were curious.
October 7, 8, 9. That $400, by the way, is a lot cheaper than it would be to try to go see all these acts individually, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. That's not even sure. one act.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
And we were talking about baseball. The only reason I could think about being a baseball player, the only reason.
Chicks?
Chicks.
I know
Chicks,
it.
Man. Justin Verlander, who apparently does something in the sport.
Pitcher for the Tigers, yeah. Very famous, very popular.
He's engaged to Kate Upton. They made it official last night in New York City when she was on the red carpet at the 2016 Met Gala. She was on the red carpet showing off her new engagement ring. So that's a good deal.
Isn't
it
an event for the Mets? That's bogus.
The Met Gala, Kevin, is the Metropolitan Museum of Art's big fashion festival they do there. And so she said they are engaged. She's really excited. But they're in no rush to the altar, says Kate. She's hoping she can find someone from another sport, she said. And then maybe marry that person instead.
That's an odd comment to make right after you're engaged. But
well, look, she's nothing if not honest. Today's celebrity birthday is Bobby Cannavale, is 46 years old, Dule Hill. You remember him from The West Wing. And Psych, 41 years old, Christina Hendricks. Turns 41 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian and New York Times bestselling author Jen Kirkman joins us later this hour here on The Kevin Bean Show, and we'll talk to actor Teddy Sears in the 9 o'clock hour as well. He's Zoom on The Flash, don't you know, on the CW. That is all coming up, plus your chance at 9 o'clock to win more tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016, a week from Saturday at Irvine. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
TV star Ralph Garman.
Easy.
You used to be on game shows a lot.
I did a bunch of game shows when I was a starving actor, yeah, because I was obviously poor. And it was a quick way to make, if you did well, a bunch of money. You know, you could make more in a couple hours than you could working a couple weeks tending bar or waiting tables.
Were you hoping also that somebody might discover you because you're on TV?
No. Okay. That doesn't happen.
Okay, I didn't
never heard anyone saying, you were wonderful on Password, we're going to give you a series. I don't know if the showbiz works.
Okay. But the great thing
about...
It was
not a concern of mine to be for that to further my career. I was just in it for the cash
making
and prizes.
Money.
And right. I bet that's still going on, right? You could probably still find aspiring actors just, hey, I've got time, I'm going to show up and be on The Price is Right or whatever,
there
right?
were a ton of us who showed up for these casting calls they would have for the game shows. And... I don't know if that's still the case. I would assume so. But you would get in there and you would have your first initial meeting where they'd have you go through like a little written quiz similar to the setup of the game to see how proficient you were. And they would interview you to see what your personality was like. And invariably they would say, and don't mention you're an actor. There was like a standard release form to say, don't bring up SAG. Don't tell anybody you're an actor. Don't think just whatever you do for your day job. That's right. What you are.
So you were bartender Ralph Garman on the
I was. Game. That's how they introduced me on this episode of Match Game that I was on back in the 90s. Ross Schaefer was the host, and Ross would talk to the contestants. And I was a bartender, so that's what I said, what I did. And he has the dumbest response to that ever. I'd rather he just not ask me about my job if he was going to say what he said. Here's my introduction on Match Game.
Ralph, how are you?
Ross, nice to meet you.
Hi, Ralph.
Why don't you tell us? About yourself.
My name is Ralph Garman. I'm originally from Philadelphia, and now I'm a bartender here in the Los Angeles area.
How do you like it?
I love bartending.
You like it?
Yeah.
Good for you, Ralph.
How do you like it?
How do you like it?
How do you like bartending?
Who's his co-host with
It's My Dream?
Who's that?
That isn't his co-host. There's a patent. Match game is played with two contestants, and Ross Shaver asks you a question with a blank in it, and then what you need to do is give your answer and see how many of the contestants, the six celebrity contestants, will match up with what you were saying.
So this is not a fact that they're asking. This is just a
It's usually a
question.
Comedy question.
Okay.
With usually a definitive answer, and the goal is to say what that definitive answer is and hope that the celebrity panelists will get their heads out of their butt long enough, trying to make desperately to make a joke and give some attention to themselves, give the right answers that you can win some actual money. So my panel was Brad Garrett, Charles Nelson Reilly, Sally Struthers, who hit on me, comedian Tom Parks, and two women from some daytime ABC show of the day, who I forget who they were.
Okay.
But those were the contestants. So as we mentioned before, last time I talked about this, I think we should play along and see how you guys do.
Uh-oh.
But there was the question. The first question was, for me, Lieutenant Columbo said, if you don't mind me saying, I know how this plumber was murdered. He was blanked to death.
Butt crack.
See, you said butt crack, Kevin, when we talked about this.
Idiot.
No, Ali said it.
He was butt-cracked to death, and I don't understand how that worked. But obviously, that's the structure of the question is you're supposed to tie something in with being a plumber with how he was murdered.
Okay.
So this was my answer.
All right, Ralph. After seeing the murder, Lieutenant Columbo said, if you don't mind my saying this, the murderer was a plumber. The victim was?
He was plunged to death.
Plunged to death. Yes.
So I thought that would be a pretty good answer. Here's what the celebrities had to say. Now, keep in mind, you have to match as many of the six celebrities as you can, okay? Here's what they said.
That's a good answer. Plunge to death, Brad.
I wrote this down. I'm not sure. I've never been... Am I bothering you, Ralph? I don't mean to bother you. I should plunge her to death.
Oh, yes. Plunge.
Nice. Good. Is it plunged or plunger?
Plunge is the one.
Plunger
is the one.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Whatever.
You're drawing nails.
Could you get it taken out?
And they're all okay.
I panned them just now. They're adorable.
You can't plunge
it. Oh, okay. Right. Sally, the victim was blanked to death, and they think it plunged.
I don't know why Ralph thinks that, because I think it's plunger.
Ah, wow.
I just wrote, had that plunger thing done to him.
So you
six for six.
Six.
Six for six.
Wow.
So are you the greatest contestant in match game history?
By far. So I hit all six. I'm in the catbird seat now because I got a girl playing next to me named Lisa who's just beautiful but just dumb. And I am well on my way. First of all, if you win the game, you win a whole bunch of cash. Then you get to play for $10,000 in the grand round or whatever it's called. So then as the show goes on, I mentioned Sally Struthers hit on me. Here's some proof, actually.
Okay, Ralph. Hey. Who do you want to play with?
I like to play with Sally.
Oh, good. You and Sally.
Come on, Sally.
Are you married, Ralph?
No, I'm not married either.
Neither am I.
See?
You're going to be busy all evening, it sounds like.
I wrecked her. Sally Struthers.
Did you?
Yeah. So the girl goes with her questions, and she gets, I don't know, like 2 out of 6. I could not be in a better position.
I feel like this is so mine.
Right. Then Ross asked me my next question.
You like this one. I think you like this question. Ralph, I hope you like this one.
So do I.
Did you hear about the world's most boring X-rated movie?
No.
How boring was it?
It's called Debbie Does Blank.
Debbie Does Blank. That's the question you get asked. The world's most boring X-rated movie, Debbie Does... What's your answer, Kevin?
Well, I think the answer is Dallas.
That's not what the game is. That's my guess. But that's a terrible
guess. But the actual title of the porn movie is Debbie Does Dallas.
So I'm thinking the celebrities would say that.
Why would they say that when the question is, it's the world's most boring X-rated movie. It's obviously not the actual title of the movie. It's going to be a play off of that title.
All right, beer mug.
Debbie Does Beer Mug.
I don't really have an answer for that.
No. The first thing I thought was dishes, just because it's
dishes.
Dishes. Because it sounds like Debbie Does Dallas, and it's a boring thing to watch a woman do in a movie.
Allie?
Soccer.
Debbie Does Soccer. Okay, let's hear what my answer was.
Ralph, did you hear about the world's most boring X-rated movie? It's called Debbie Does
Dishes.
Debbie Does Dishes.
You and Bean.
You and Bean are the same person.
Yes.
Wow, that was very good.
That is a great answer. Ralph, you now qualify
Ralph,
for the celebrity battle.
See, everyone loved my answer because it's a great answer.
Well, it's a logical answer.
It's a great answer. It's the definitive answer.
Okay.
So why don't the celebrities know it's the definitive answer?
So they didn't.
This is what these asshats said.
Well, darling, it's very difficult for me because I have to tell you, I was raised in the Valley. And in the Valley, Debbie does her nails.
Debbie does her nails. Not a match. Dana?
Bo don't know diddly?
Debbie does diddly.
Debbie
does
not a match.
That's
not
a match.
No. Dana,
Charles, I went with a bigger budget than all of these. What was her name?
Debbie.
Debbie.
Debbie
does. Debbie does Baltimore.
Debbie does Baltimore. Not a match. Not funny either.
Debbie does nothing.
Debbie does nothing. Sally Struthers. Debbie does nothing.
I've been called that. Paula does nothing.
Shut up, Paula.
You've been called
really?
Tom? What, can you? Debbie does dishes? Can you match that?
I once again was of a like mind with Charles, but a different city.
Debbie does Cleveland. Not a match.
Okay, no, wait. Debbie does Death Valley.
Yeah.
Debbie does Death Valley. Not a match.
What an answer.
Okay.
That's when the audience turned on the celebrities.
Those are terrible answers.
People seem to like my answer, them not so much.
So you got zero.
I got blanked on the second question.
Oh.
So now me and the dummy next to me are all tied up. I should be crushing at this point. If I had one freaking celebrity pull their head out of the ass long enough to say Debbie does dishes, I would be sitting pretty. But now I'm tied with the dummy perfume sales lady next to me.
Well, look, you wouldn't have this stupid job if one of those celebrities had just come through. You'd have been set for life.
So then it comes down to a tiebreak. Question, okay?
All right.
And the tiebreaker is they give you some choices. The phrase, you get a phrase and then you have to match one of the celebrities. So the phrase was dream blank, okay? So I said dream boat. And,
right. Okay.
And the dummy next to me said dream lover. Dream boat,
lover.
Dream lover.
All right.
Those are the options. And that dumb Death Valley broad, the dumb stupid woman, she gets to be the final decision on who wins what. Here's what happened.
I don't have any other clips.
You don't?
No.
You certainly should.
It's at the end of the file. I don't know what to tell you.
Well.
Just let us know. Did anyone match what you said?
The dummy said dream lover.
That's a terrible answer, right?
And so Lisa went on to play for the $10,000 and I got sent home. Debbie does dishes. Dishes! Charles Nelson Reilly, you dummy.
So how much did you win?
I got to keep what I won. I think it was like $700 or something. Still,
it was worth you going down there, yeah.
Yeah. And
it's nothing, man.
And I nailed Sally's brother.
That's the important. Speaking of that band right there, there'll be new Red Hot Chili Peppers music Thursday here on K-Rock, and you can win tickets to see them at the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016 in about a half an hour. I'll give you those tickets. Hey, Jen Kirkman.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I can't believe the Red Hot Chili Peppers have new music coming out.
Well, I can't believe it either.
Don't they just want to lay down?
Well, you would think so, but...
Why, because they're exhausted from how hard they rock? Is that what you mean?
They've had such a rich life of hard rocking and drugging. Like, let's take a nap.
Well, I mean, it has...
I don't mean because they're old. I just mean...
It has been a while since we had new music from them, so...
Maybe they took a nap, yeah.
It's very possible. They've just woken up and they're back, yeah. Jen Kirkman is here, of course, the very famous, very popular stand-up comedian and also New York Times best-selling author. Now, your last book was a sensation and hit very near the top of the charts. Do you have numbers on the new book yet?
No, I don't.
You still don't know whether you made the list
or not? No, I didn't make the list first week, so that means I probably won't unless I'm like... Oprah comes back.
But none of us are going to check. Just go with
it. Oh, by the way, that's the best part. I already got in it once, so now just people go, New York Times bestselling author. I don't say which book.
All right.
Right. That's
actually,
forever.
People do. I'm getting way more feedback on this one, and people seem to like it more. And it's more of a book for everybody because it's about all kinds of things. So
I loved this book, Jen. I read it this weekend.
You did?
I loved it.
What a sweetie.
And I will tell you, though, that I'm now... I've always been a little bit intimidated by you, even though you're always very nice when you come on. But now I'm really nervous that I'm going to say something dumb and end up in the next book because I see how often that happens in your life.
Oh.
Like your orthodontist makes the book, your blind date in Stockholm makes the book, everyone in Dublin makes the book. I mean, I know how easy it is to say something that you make a note in your mind. Ooh, this guy's an idiot. I'm going to write about him in the next one.
I don't want anyone to think that that I'm trying to make people look bad, but my orthodontist basically said to me, if you try, I couldn't get an appointment with him because he only works one day a week, Fridays, and that's usually I'm away working. And I said, well, I'm not going to be around for any Friday for 6 months. And he goes, God, if you travel this much, you're never going to be able to meet a man and settle down.
Really?
So when you say something like that, I've got to put it in the book. You would never say anything like
wow.
that. And I'm
no,
like, well, you're the one that works one
day
a week. Yeah. And by the way, he was younger than me. And what ended up happening was he was like, what's so great about traveling anyway? And he looked really upset. I go, are you okay? And he goes, my girlfriend dumped me last night because she said she wants to travel the world.
Oh, man.
And I was like, well, that's what we're talking about. And so, like, we had, like, a little therapy session. And
I feel like he should have paid you rather than the other way around for that visit, by the way.
I'm terrified to go back to him because they know that I'm a comic and a writer. And
well, don't go back to him. Isn't there another dentist that maybe works during the week?
Do you know what? Rather you just said Friday? Something that changed my life. I bet there's another dentist, but I'm so lazy. I don't know how to do anything except keep calling the same number.
That's Kevin.
Like, can you imagine? Like, I'm like, how do I find? I don't even remember how I found this one. How would I find a new one?
You would have a lot of work.
I have a great dentist if you need
There you go. You would have somebody that you know what dentist they use.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, didn't we bond last time over you used to put paper clips on your teeth?
Absolutely. Pretended it was
I don't want to go to that dentist.
I never needed braces. That's why I never needed a dentist.
We did talk about that a year ago. I can't believe you remembered that, Jen. Wow.
I actually can't believe it either. Something just jogged out of my brain.
The last time Jen was here, you actually said something that has stuck with me every day since then.
What?
You told us the story about a neighbor, I want to say it was, who died and her dog ate her.
Yes, ate her face.
Ate her face. You told us that story.
Didn't, like, eat her to completion. She just
Right.
Let's not be crazy.
But the fact that you know somebody that that happened to is amazing to me. That's the type of thing that always happens to other people, not to people you know.
Well, I feel like you all know someone it's happened to and maybe, you know, the family didn't tell you. Or
really?
Something.
So we all have that person, but we just don't know it yet?
You could have a neighbor now that's decomposing. And
I had a neighbor.
Go home and check. Everyone go home and check.
When I was a kid, and I don't think I've ever told this story before, Kevin, but when I
was... Because you don't remember your childhood.
Right, but this is a story that has since been reinforced to me from other members of my family who do not have brain injuries. We had a neighbor who decapitated her husband.
Holy crap.
You better be worried about that instead of someone writing about you in a book.
Wow. No kidding.
We had a neighbor that did that. A neighbor that lived like within a few houses of us that literally decapitated her husband. I don't have the specifics.
You know, they make it sound so easy when they see decapitate. They make it sound like this clean sweep and it takes 2 seconds. But unless you have some big machine, you're sawing through.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah,
that's
a lot
messed
of bone.
Up.
Yeah,
that's
messed up.
To say the least.
Jed, I want to go back to your orthodontist for just 1 second. Why do you suppose it is...
I
understand that. Why do you suppose, and this happens so often to you in your life, and you've explored it many times on stage and in both of your books, why is it that perfect strangers want to give you advice so often on how to live your life?
I don't know. I assume it happens to everybody. I think when you're wandering around by yourself, that happens a lot more because I think there's an assumption that you're lost or that you're open to conversation. I wonder.
You can't just be a happy, well-adjusted person walking around by yourself.
No, you need to be rescued, Kevin.
I think you can't.
Wow.
Or like, you know, I feel like, but you're right. It's not even just like, oh, someone's talking to me. It's like someone's giving me unsolicited advice. I feel like that's what everyone's like now. Like, I think that's like, you know what I mean? It's not even just the people who come up and talk to me because I don't mind about that.
Right.
And they don't know. It's not like a fame thing. I'm not famous like that. I don't know. I feel like everyone thinks they know it all now. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you write on Twitter, I have a cold. People are like, eat chicken soup. It's like, no, I didn't say I don't know what to do about it. I just said I have a cold. And I feel like everyone's just kind of a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to live your life for you, it sounds like.
They should live my life. It's really fun. Maybe that's why they're giving me advice about how not to do it.
Jen Kirkman is here. We're going to take a quick break and talk more, but I want to mention again, you're going to be tonight at CineFamily at Silent Movie Theater, which it has to be sold out by now. Like, there can't be tickets left for that, right?
I think they always have a few at the door, but I would recommend.
Okay.
I think there's a few left on the call-in. But, it should be. I didn't get my numbers for today, but don't let that stop you. Go to cinefamily.org. You never know. There's so much going on in LA. Yeah.
And you are doing not your traditional stand-up show tonight, right?
I'm doing, like, it's funny, but it's just a bunch of stories. So it's, like, a nice, long show. And it's, like, I tell crazy stories about the time I lied about losing my virginity, and I said I did and I hadn't. I talk about a love triangle I was in on 9/11. It's, like, a really bizarre, funny show. And then I sign books at the end and stuff like that.
I didn't know that anyone had a sexy 9/11 story. That's awesome, Jen.
It's the first.
It's not like a love triangle. It was like I was torn between two people I was in love with. But there's no sex.
The Sinner family at the
threesome.
Yeah.
I said love triangle.
First you said threesome.
No. Isn't it funny that we all heard threesome?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, you all heard.
God,
you make it so much more interesting than it was.
7:30 tonight at the Sinner family at the Silent Movie Theater, sinnerfamily.org. More with our guest Jen Kirkman when we return on K-Rock. Jen Kirkman in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Her latest book is called I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself. It is out and available everywhere. I feel like I know more about your sex life than I know about my wife's sex life now, Jen, as a result of reading this
book. Your wife.
Yeah. Any guy that reads a memoir knows more about that person's sex life than their wife. I mean, why
I ask my wife sometimes, but she just says it's private, so she doesn't. She doesn't share.
She's doing her sex life with you. That's private. We should not discuss it. Yeah. Well, I don't have one now, but I had a good time right after I got divorced, and before that.
Right. Is it difficult for you? I know you're a person who is comfortable talking about personal and private things. You've been doing it your whole career now, 20 years as a stand-up.
Oh God, it's older than the Chili Peppers. Why don't I take a nap?
Were there times where you were writing this book in particular where you thought, man, I don't know if I want to put that out there?
Oh my God,
too personal.
Yes, there's a story about I had a doctor who told me I had Hep C when I didn't. I didn't even have. I've never had an STD in my life. I don't even have herpes one, like the cold sore one. Like I am so clean.
You're so clean.
You sound like you won it.
I do. I feel left out in the winter.
You feel left out, right?
And this doctor made me, whatever. She misdiagnosed me. The test was false, blah, blah, blah. But the story is funny because it was like she was being weird about the fact that I was divorced. And I went to a new gynecologist who was like, oh, that's such a thing. Like, sometimes people's doctors see the woman as married, and when she's not and they get more partners, they get judgy.
Really?
Anyway, yeah. So I put that in the book because I thought it was a funny ending of the story. And I'm like, people are not going to believe that I don't have Hep C. And I'm going to be on the websites, like with Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee, allegedly. And so I was worried about that. And then my mom, I still haven't given her a copy. I'm like, don't read it. She's like, I know that you've had a life. I go, but you're not going to like these stories.
Your mom really won't read it?
She will. I won't give her a copy.
Well, I know she will, but she can order it online, right?
She could if she knew how to do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You disconnected the internet.
Her computer is basically a typewriter with a screen.
Okay.
Like they have dial-up internet. Right.
So as long as she's not physically in a store where your book is being sold, you're probably pretty safe she won't get one.
I'm probably pretty safe. And I wonder if she'd even pick it up and buy it because she'd be like, well, I want to save my money for gambling this weekend, and Jen has free copies. So
right. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm not that type of person. I could not put out there stuff that you put out there.
There's a lot of stuff that I don't, but I put out enough.
What's some of the stuff that you don't?
Let me tell you. No, but I mean, there's stuff that's like, either whether it's stuff that goes on in my head or just times I was like a super bad person. I'm like, we'll save that. You will save that for like some other kind of memoir as I get older.
So you've got another book in you probably, Jen.
Oh, yeah. I want to keep writing one every few years. So, yeah, definitely. There's more secrets and more like this book, when I was writing it, I asked for an extension because I knew I was going to be going through Europe and turning 40. And I was like, how do I write a book and then end it before that? Like, I've got to turn 40. And all this stuff ended up happening to me that wouldn't have happened, you know, whatever. So.
Is writing a book hard? Because it sounds like from some people, they make it sound like it's just torture.
It is. But you know what it is? What's hard about it is when you're actually writing, it's not that bad, but it's like the procrastination. But what I would say is, you know, like when you have a story in your head and it makes so much sense and you start writing it down, it's not coming out the way you see it in your head.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the most disappointing part. I'm like, wait, I can say it out loud.
I can't even say it out loud. That's where I go south. Everything in my head is perfect, and then out my mouth, it's just terrible.
Right.
So I understand
It's the same
that.
Thing. So yeah. I think it's that. And then, you know, once you're writing something down, like when I see jokes on stage, I don't feel that I have to be – I don't judge it that harshly. I'm like, the moment goes by. It's funny. When you're writing it down, it seems like, why am I writing this down? Is it that important? Is it
right.
that interesting?
It's not fleeting anymore.
It's not fleeting. And you're like, this better have a point. And a lot of times you realize half your good stories do not have points.
I'm also so impressed because you seem to be so much more in touch with yourself.
Oh,
and
thank you.
And by that, I mean than anyone that I know. You have spent a lot of time mindfully considering your life and thinking about the decisions that you make and thinking about where you are and what you want to do next. And I feel like you're very honest with yourself. And I think it's really easy for me and for a lot of people to just kind of skate through life think about those deep,
yeah.
important things that all add up to being a human being.
Well, I do.
Is that therapy? Is that where that all
came from? I think it's therapy. but I spend a lot of time alone, a lot of time in airplanes. I have what? Do you ever get airplane emotion?
Where you watch a movie? Just talking about airplane emotion.
I've got a lot of that. You get contemplative up there.
Oh yeah,
and or you watch a movie that you normally
would
think
never
sucks.
Cry.
Yeah, and you're bawling.
Oh God, the Blind Side. Yes.
What?
I just cried recently at The Intern with Anne Hathaway and what's his name, Robert De Niro.
Robert
I'm like,
De Niro.
He's such a good dad, even though he's not her dad.
Yeah, they had a great relationship in that movie.
What's the science behind that, Jen? If you
That's
know
weird.
Why is it people cry at movies on airplanes?
I've
so
looked
much?
This up. It
yes,
has to
tell
do
me.
With. Literally, the altitude does something to you're more in touch with your emotions. There's less, like, I don't know, stuff running through your blood. I don't know. And then there's also, like, deeply psychological, like, even if you're not afraid to be up there, you're understanding how out of control you are. So you're just kind of.
You're vulnerable, maybe?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable in the air.
And maybe some people are drunk.
Well,
because people
that.
Drink on planes and get drunk. And
all those things on planes.
And maybe you're just trying to avoid small talk with the person next to you. So you're like, I better make myself cry so they think I'm crazy.
Do you bring headphones? That's my move is I just bring headphones and put them on immediately.
I'm going to have to make the move to the headphones we're wearing right now because I put the little earbuds in
and
people still talk.
Yep, like, not enough.
I was on a plane this weekend coming home and the guy behind me just started talking to the woman next to him. Pleasant conversation. I thought maybe they're falling in love. But I was like, thank God that's not me. Because he was just like, what were you in Seattle for? And then she answered him and they kept talking the whole flight. I was like, what? You don't have to do that anymore. It's not the 50s. We have distractions.
You should be ignoring your fellow passengers now.
Ignoring and thinking about your life or crying
at a movie. Or crying at a movie that you normally wouldn't cry at.
How would your life be different, do you think, Jen, if you had never gone to therapy like so many people just resisted on principle?
I think I would probably, you know what? I think I'd probably make a lot of the same mistakes, but I have less information about why I'm doing it. I was like, I'd probably screw up a bunch of relationships. Oh, I already did that. You know what? I'd probably be very bitter and I probably wouldn't be very grateful about my career.
You'd be harder on yourself.
Yeah. Before I went to therapy, I was really angry and jealous of everything. And I was only doing stand-up for like a year at that point. And I was like, why aren't I famous? And I think if the untherapized me saw where I'm at now, which is good, but it's not world domination, I think she would be very angry. And I think I would be a lot more angry than I am. Now I'm like angry in a funny way.
Ish.
But like then I was angry, super
just
pissed.
Angry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're open for sincere compliments about your book, though. But again, as I mentioned, I read it over
I
the
am
week.
Open. Thank you for asking. Open for business.
It's called I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell
Do
Myself.
Do you like to hear that your book is good?
I don't, actually. Okay. I came in here to get a beat down.
And it really is for everyone. Look, I'm not
I like hearing that.
I'm not a 40-year-old woman, but
dudes
I really
are loving it.
I really enjoyed it, and I'll tell you why. Because
I'm half naked on the cover?
That's part of it.
Yeah.
I can't lie. That's part of it. But you really do make some points that I think are universal points. For instance, you just talked about getting jealous over other people in their career or their lives or whatever they have going on. And you made such a great point that I'd never really seen written down this way before, which is that we compare how we feel on the inside to what we see in other people's outside.
That's right. Don't compare your inside to people's outsides.
That kind of blew my mind a little bit because it's so simple. But of course, you think you know what Beyonce's life is like and, oh my God, it must be perfect to be her. But if you're inside Beyonce, maybe it's not that much fun. So maybe it's not a fair comparison.
It's not. Well, I was thinking about this because I recently just got out of a relationship. It was long distance. I was dating someone who lived in Australia like an idiot. But when he was in America and we were together, it was kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy on planes.
Because he didn't know about your hep C.
Yeah, he didn't know. once he contracted it, he went back to Australia. No, but we would be like affectionate in public and I would see people look at us, not overly annoying, but I was like, I wonder if that single woman is jealous. And I want to tell her, don't be, this will end. It's long distance. If there's no way this will work out, my life isn't perfect. And I could see people comparing, and like, so you never know what's going on. That's why I feel people who have great lives should be honest and tell me when it's not all
but
that
Beyonce's
great.
Life is perfect, right?
No, Becky with the good hair,
right?
No.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
yeah you got you Becky, forgot about Becky hair. With the good hair, Kim.
But even her husband cheating on her, if he did, who gets to be cheated on and then have their husband like accept that that she's going to make a music video that's, you know, about that in a way? And I don't know. I feel like that even worked out well. What'd you say?
I said the husband that's going to then get the money because she's selling it on Tidal.
Oh, true. Right.
Yeah.
Well, God bless them. I hope they take it. Maybe.
you're going to be doing a book release and signing tonight, right? So you're not selling books, but you are signing books at the Santa Family tonight?
I will not be selling it, but there will be books for sale.
Okay. Okay.
From a local bookstore. I forget the name. That's why I'm being weird. But someone's coming to sell books. People can buy it there. They can bring one they already have. I'll sign it.
Are you doing Q&A as well or no?
No, I put that I was doing one. That's back when the show that I thought I was going to do was a lot shorter. But this show is like almost an hour and a half. So enough talking out of me after the show. And then I do a signing. People usually don't. People will tell me their life story anyway in the book signing line, no matter what. So I don't need to do a Q&A.
I think that's really interesting because they've read yours, and now they want to share their stories with you because you guys are best friends now, clearly, because they read your book.
I know, and I want to explain to them the difference is you can pick up my book and read it privately. I'm not, like, in your face, drunk, going, I'm leaving my husband tomorrow, and you're the first person I'm telling. I have people that tell me, like, confessions.
Oh, my God.
Like, I feel like someone's going to confess a murder to me one time, and I'm going to have to tell the cops or something.
What do I do legally? I think I'm supposed to turn that person in.
I should look it up because it's bound to happen. I've had some real freaky people come through my line.
Jen has an interesting life, you guys. Doesn't she?
Her life is perfect.
CineFamily.org to buy tickets for the show tonight at 7:30. And the book is available online and everywhere. I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself. Ladies and gentlemen, Jen Kirkman.
You guys have been a joy, as always.
Great to see
you.
Thank you. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:57.
Moments away from your cue to call to win tickets for the Sold Out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. Keep listening. We'll tell you when to dial. Also, Teddy Sears is going to be joining us. Ralph, you excited about Zoom being in here?
Just chatting with him in the other room.
Yeah?
And he is just as evil in real life as he is on the television series.
Uh-oh.
I found out he's a Caps fan. I found out he's a Washington Capitals fan.
Oh, he's a huge hockey fan.
And he's your mortal enemy as a Flyers fan, right?
As they beat up on us in round one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Now I got to take him out. Now I have to steal his Speed Force. I didn't want to have to do it, but now it's going to have to go down.
Now you don't have a choice.
No.
Flyers were lucky to be there. Let's be honest.
How dare you?
Let's be honest.
If it was soccer, we'd be the champions.
That's true.
Because we sort of backed in, and other teams didn't do so well, so we should just be champions. They should just give us the cup.
I don't understand how soccer works.
I learned today. Kevin told me all about it.
Actor Teddy Sears joins us in studio from The Flash on CW coming up next. First, here's the Showbiz Beat Now with Ralph.
Speaking of geeky things, you know, I'm a huge geek. Very exciting news. They've announced, CBS announced yesterday, they are rolling out the first new Star Trek TV series in more than 10 years. They start shooting this fall in Toronto, Canada.
It's very exciting.
It's very exciting.
Now, Ralph, are you enough of a fan that you're going to pay for it? Because I guess that's the only way we're going to be able to see
CBS All Access is where you'll find it. It won't be shown. The premiere will be shown on regular TV.
Mm-hmm. To hook you.
Much like a pusher. The first taste is free. And then after that, you're going to have to buy it on CBS All Access. But you know me. I'm all for whatever enhances the value to the shareholders.
I've heard that about it. That's what we're all here for.
That's what we're here for. So that's some good news. Meanwhile, GLAAD... the organization, of course, that supports the rights of LGBT people, they are upset with the Star Wars producers, saying Star Wars should introduce some gay or lesbian characters into that franchise. They want to see, maybe Chewbacca's gay. We don't know. He could be a bear in the gay community.
We don't know what he's saying.
That's right.
He's saying,
village people.
He doesn't know. You don't know.
Odd choice.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Did you say he could be a bear?
Yes.
Yeah, he said that.
Because, see, in the gay community, the big hairy guys are very popular. They're known as bears. They have a legitimate beef in the sense that Disney is only one of two studios to feature no gay or lesbian characters in any of their films last year. It seems hard to believe that there are movies out there with no representation of people of LGBT community. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if Star Wars maybe is the place where you want to fight your battle. Seems like that's such a fantastical situation that really people's sexuality, one way or the other, is sort of irrelevant. I could see it maybe in more films that, you know, take place on Earth and stuff. Mm-hmm. Might be more appropriate. But Prince, of course, passed recently, and now everyone's coming out of the woodwork looking for a little piece of his estate. Prince's half-sister has come forward. Her name is Darcelle Johnston. She says Prince's mother was also her mother, but they had different fathers.
So now the administrator of the estate and the court will have to look into this. But if that is true, that means a seven-way split between Prince's one natural sister and the rest of his half-siblings. Under Minnesota law, that means they all get the cash. And now an unidentified Minnesota man has come forward claiming to be the secret son of Prince. Wow, this all sounds like a Flash storyline between all the people disappearing. Twins and doubles. He claims that Prince had an affair with his mother in the 1980s, and he was the product of that relationship. So they're going to do, well, he's asking for DNA testing. We'll have to wait and see.
Going to go on Maury?
Go on Maury, yes.
I would love to know the legalities and logistics of that. I mean, I could say I'm Prince's kid. Anybody could say it. How many
people? Well, you look just like him. That's why.
I do. Thank you for noticing my little mustache. Right. How many people can say that, and how many would get tested?
That's true. At what point do they draw the line and say, why now? Why are you coming forward now, and why are we obligated to have to prove your paternity one way or the other, your purpleness?
Yeah.
Although, if you're coming forward and saying test, it would seem to me you would think that that person might...
At least believes they're a relative.
Right, should get the benefit of the doubt because, you know, they're not just claiming it. They're asking to be tested for proof. And why would you say that unless you thought your proof was going to go your way, right?
Because you're loony.
That's true. There are loonies. And sad news. Remo Belli has passed away. We have a lot to thank Remo Belli for.
Remo Belli.
Remo Belli. If you're a drummer,
cymbals.
You know the name Remo.
Yeah.
Not cymbals at all.
The drums.
Right. Thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
Remo Belli was a drummer back in the day. In 1957, he decided that his drum skins, which were made out of actual animal skin, were too hard to work with because it was too warm or too cold. They'd get out of shape real quickly. And the drums sound like crap. So in 1957, what he did, he got together with the folks at DuPont, who made a little product called Mylar, and he made the first synthetic drum head, the Weather King. The Remo Weather King, still used to this day. This thing on?
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have him to thank for the Remo drum head.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You guys don't know, man. Listen, I'm a drummer. I love beats. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's Peter Muck. Anyway, passed away at the age of 88, so. Thank you, Remo. Hey, nope. Remo Belli.
Nope.
How come you don't make a drum head like a pizza pie? Today's celebrity birthday is Bobby Cannavale. Hey, Bobby Cannavale. Mm. How come you know at a Remo Belli's funeral? I no see you there. 46 years old today. Dule Hill is 41. And Christina Hendricks, probably still best known as Joan from Mad Men, 41 years old today. By the way, saw Captain America Civil War last night. And John Slattery is in it. I completely forgot. But, you know, he plays Tony Stark's dad in the franchise. So he has a nice little part. In this movie.
So excited. Friday.
He's everywhere.
He is everywhere.
Yeah, he's on Veep,
on
too.
Veep and...
He was great on Veep. He's just great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
For an older guy, I would. I'm Same. Sorry, are we on?
What?
Huh?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive. To the outside world, I'm an ordinary forensic scientist. But secretly, with the help of my friends at Star Labs, I fight crime and find other metahumans like me. I hunted down the man who killed my mother, but in doing so, I opened up our world to new threats. And I am the only one fast enough to stop them. I am the Flash.
Boy, Barry Allen is just a big, fat liar. First of all, Reverse Flash, faster than him. Zoom, faster than him. So he's hardly the fastest man alive, really.
Yeah, but you can't sell the show. I'm Barry Allen, and I'm the third fastest man alive.
I'm really close to the fastest.
That would not be a good sell. Yeah. You're right.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the voice of actor Teddy Sears. He is Zoom on The Flash, CW Tuesday Night Tonight. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the applause, guys. That was
well, we're delighted to have you. We just had Mr. Kavanaugh in here last week, and we had a lot of fun with him. He's great.
I heard he was here in town, and I heard he didn't give me a call.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Well, it's okay.
That got weird.
Text messages have been sent.
And before we move on, Ralph was very excited about you coming in, but I understand there was a little bit of a hiccup in your burgeoning friendship when hockey came up. I just want to find out, have you guys sorted things out? Are you friends again?
Or? It's hard to really care now that my team is well out of it. Sure, they were knocked out by the Caps, and some people might hold a grudge against that, but I'm not that kind of person.
Well, we did bond over our mutual disdain for the
Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's right.
So we have a mutual enemy, so that made us feel better. But I told Teddy that he's a Washington Capitals fan. He's a Caps fan, and I said if anybody has to win this year, if it's not the Flyers, I would hope it's the Capitals because Ovechkin absolutely deserves it. One of the great players in the history of the game. So yeah. And this series has been really fun to watch. It's been pretty heavy in the parlance of hockey talk. A lot of hits.
Yes.
A lot of not all
no
legal hits.
Loss, yeah, as they say, no between loss. Those two teams.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Haven't there been a lot of complaints in this? Trust me, we're going to get back to the Flash. But haven't there been a lot of complaints in several of the playoff series this year about the referees just stepping back? Just like, whatever, I'm not calling anything.
I think that's normal in the playoffs.
It's traditional playoff hockey. Yeah, they tend to put the whistles away. But then when something does get called, it doesn't always get called on the other side.
And
Sorry.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, that's accurate. But that's sort of what makes it fun, what makes it frustrating. But especially when the games are tight towards the end of the third into overtime, the whistles just they're just away.
Non-existent.
Yeah, non-existent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's just Zoom talk. Ralph, what do you need to know from Teddy?
So much. Well, Tom, it was great to have Tom in last week because he did clear up a few things for me, like how you were able to kill yourself in front of Barry when you were going back in through the portal back to Earth 2. We cleared that up because you were a time remnant. Jay Garrick was a time remnant of Hunter Zolomon, and that's how you were able to murder yourself in front of our eyes.
Yes.
Okay.
You say that as if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to figure it out.
That's what we learned last week.
Of course it makes sense. Right. But as an actor, it just must be so much fun to be able to play the goodest of guys. And Jay Garrick, who was the classic Flash, the original Flash from the 40s, and also perhaps Flash's most evil enemy. Both of those characters side by side must be an enormously good time for you.
Yeah, it was that was the most attractive thing in doing the job, and it's been sort of the biggest payoff to play one side of the spectrum and go all the way to the other. And Zoom's just kind of a weird dude. I mean, if you watched last week, you see his origin story. He and Barry had a very similar thing happened to them when they were young, and one guy went one way and one guy went the other, and that early event colored his life, colored Barry's life too. They just went in polar opposite directions. To come on the show and be, like you said, the goodest of good guys, to be sort of Mr.
Jay's kind of a square.
He's a total 1940s squeaky clean square, who's honorable and decent and all that stuff.
Zoom not so much
vindictive and creepy and
keeps his girlfriend locked up in his lair, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's true love, right?
I don't know. Let's not automatically make that sound creepy.
Bean would like that arrangement, sadly enough.
That is. Turns out that's creepy by all standards.
Were you aware going into that they gave you sort of the lay of the land and you knew what the arc of the character was going to be when you signed up?
They actually did. Yeah. When I'd auditioned and I had gotten that good phone call, hey, they're interested. I got on a phone call with Andrew Kreisberg, the head writer and co-creator, and he spelled out what was going to happen to me for the season, and it was really exciting. But then as I started doing Jay Garrick, I thought, you know what, I started convincing myself that they had changed their minds and they were going to get someone else to play Zoom because, you know, this Jay thing's going really well and I'm having a good time, and I know just as an actor, I grew quite attached to being Jay. And then there's, if you know the comics, there's this world of doppelgangers and Zoom's not doppelganger, but the Hunter Zolomon is
the Earth One version.
The Earth One version, and who ultimately becomes Zoom in the comics. So if you know the comics and you hear the name Hunter Zolomon, like we did in episode, I don't know if it was 11 or 12, that's when I knew, and that's when the audience, the hardcore fans knew, that I was ultimately going to be...
Right. You and Caitlin are walking around. You're trying to explain why there's no Jay Garrick doppelganger on Earth One. You say, that's the guy who I look like, and we see on the park bench, there's Hunter Zolomon.
Exactly. Walking through a park.
And that's when everybody's light bulbs went off.
Right. Yeah. Just it's just me in a pair of glasses, you know, from a very far distance. Like, you know, we had to do something to mix it up.
Teddy, let me ask you this question about your real life, though, because you've been acting for a long, long time, and you've had a lot of success on shows like Law and Order and Masters of Sex and shows like that. When you get pitched for a quote-unquote comic book show, did you have any negative feelings toward that because you didn't think it was for you until you got in deep and saw how well done it was going to be?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I'm 39, so I thought, one, I've aged out of it. I thought, you know, all the guys who were doing it, I mean, you know, I'm not
Robert Downey Jr. So, you know, the rest of us are, I feel like it's a young man's game. So
there's
thought,
a window of superheroes.
Sort of
right?
a window yeah. of superhero-dom, and I just thought that that window had closed. And I had auditioned for Captain America once upon a time.
Wow.
I'd auditioned for Thor. You know, like, I went through those paces. I didn't get picked, and so I thought, okay, this is done. So I was a little reluctant because the world, one, I wasn't sure if I was quite right for it, and two, I knew nothing about the comic book world and the fans, man, the fans are they're amazing. They drive the whole thing, but I didn't know what to expect. They've been nothing but amazing to me. So I was nervous on a couple of fronts, but I know The Flash did so well season one. It was an exciting opportunity to do something totally different. You know, like Masters of Sex is a 1950s period drama. The Flash is, you know, talk about, you know, two entirely different worlds.
Yeah.
So it was thrilling. And then the chance to sort of wear different hats throughout the course of the show, it was a no-brainer.
Were you a little bit scared of the fans? Like when you started doing it, were you like, okay, I need to really kind of learn what I'm doing to make sure I know what I'm talking about?
No, because I'd never been to Comic-Con San Diego. I had never seen a convention. We have friends, my wife and I, Melissa, have friends who were on Battlestar. So, like, you know, I'd heard stories, but really all the stories I heard were good, just that it can get a little full on.
Full on is the nicest,
nicest phrase I've ever heard regarding us geeks. But no fear whatsoever. It was just, I don't say I ran towards it. I sort of trotted in the general direction of it, you know, the proverbial it.
Have you done any con appearances since?
I have. I've done a few, you know, and it's been so rewarding, man. I mean, if there are no
how
fans,
overwhelming
no
is it the first time you come out on a stage like that?
The first time I actually sort of, it wasn't even a stage. It was walking into like the convention hall. I had to cross the floor to get to where I was sitting. I'm not used to anybody recognizing me or knowing my face from anything. I just like to go to work and go home. I consider that's my job and I'm normal. So that was weird to hear people saying my name and, you know, and wanting photos. And it was a period of adjustment, I'll say, but, I've done three since and it's been all good. It's been great actually. Yeah.
You know, the nice thing too about this fan base, and I consider myself sort of a geek and a nerd along with
we're all sort of the king of this family.
Oh, you're way full on.
I'm full on. Is that they are enormously supportive in the sense that someday you'll leave The Flash and you'll go off to do other things and they will follow your career and they will support you and you'll always have a home and a group of people who support you no matter what you do because of working in this genre. You'll find that they're enormously supportive.
That's great because every job ends. You know, every even, you know, I don't know, you know, if it's a year, if it's 8 years on a series, every job ends and actors are always, you know, we're sort of gypsies and we go to work, move from circus to circus. I've never been on the other side of this since I'm still on The Flash. So that's good to know. I mean, that's sort of what you want as an actor is just to continue to work. And if that sort of thing helps that along, it's all good for everybody, I guess.
Do you know something he doesn't, Ralph?
No. Well, yeah. What do you know?
Having
spent a lifetime in that world, I have seen actors come and go from different projects, and there always is people there willing to support and follow them throughout their career beyond whatever the first thing may have been that got people's attention. So
Agent called when you came in here, Teddy. Sorry.
Zoom is not testing well, apparently. it's not
turning the dial, as they say. That's right. Well, it's funny. You know, I'm the season two villain, so it sort of has to go somewhere, but there is... You know, we're on this new episode tonight called Rupture. I think this is episode 20 or 21. And we do 23
towards
total.
The end, right?
We're getting towards the end. There will be an epic, you know, of course, face-off with Barry Allen. There'll be a big fight. There'll be a big I don't want to tease too much.
Might that happen tonight?
Showdown. No, tonight.
We'll save it for the finale, I'm sure.
It for the finale. Tonight, Zoom returns to Earth One. Basically, he wants to rule over Earth One. He's this, you know.
What a dick.
He's a dick.
Zoom's a dick.
Yeah, he's kind of a major dick, you know? Yeah.
Well, he kind of said that last week. He said, look, you know, Earth Two's already on its knees in front of me. There's no more world to conquer here, so I'm going to go to your home, Caitlin, and I'm going to start screwing with
you. I actually have that clip.
Oh, you do?
If you want to hear it.
Yeah.
I've always measured my success by counting the number of victims I've had. But now I think I'm going to widen my scope and start counting the number of Earths I conquer instead. You want to go home? Let's go. After all, this Earth has already been brought to its knees.
dick.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but this is like listening to your home answering outgoing message. It's a little bit weird. Yeah.
Caitlin has awful taste in men. She has not had a good history with her love life.
Oh,
things
no.
tend to go south when she finds a boyfriend, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Firestorm, or he dies in an explosion of a particle accelerator.
It's like being the keyboard player for the Grateful Dead. Your days are
numbered. Or wearing a red shirt on Star Trek. It's like, Caitlin's boyfriend probably won't be with us for too long.
Right. Exactly.
But it has to be heartening.
We need to take a break.
No!
We have to.
I have things to say.
Right, don't be full on.
We'll do another break. We'll be right back.
On the Kevin DeBean Show.
Actor Teddy Sears in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is Zoom on The Flash, CW, Tuesday nights at 9. I thought Allie and Ralph were fighting over Teddy a minute ago. It looked like they were each grabbing him by an arm and trying to pull him their way.
I want to talk hockey. He's like, no, more nerd stuff.
It was a group hug.
I started the hockey talk.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's
led
true.
With it, actually. Yeah.
Yes.
Right out of
Speaking
the game.
Of hockey, you play, don't you? Aren't you a player?
I play in a beer league, Sunday night league.
Beer leagues. I mean, you get drunk and then play?
Or you drink while you play? After. I'm
cowards.
Always the one who has water. The name of my team is the Flying Swansons. There's probably a few illustrious members out there listening. You know Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson.
Sure.
Our jerseys are a picture of his face pair of wings. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, flying.
Is Nick Offerman involved in the league at all?
No, he's not at all. In fact,
his lawyers.
Yes, right away. I think he was actually shown a jersey. You know, one of the player's friends was doing something with him, showed him the jersey, and his comment was, there's not enough blood on that jersey. And he was, he's right. You know, it's a beer league. You know, we have to work the next day, so.
Do you play with a bunch of other actors? Because I know there's a lot of guys in the business who play.
You know, on this team, no. And that's sort of what I like about it. Some guys are in the business. We have editors and, I don't know, guys who work in marketing and such. But, no, it's just a bunch of great dudes. And we are 19-0 on the season so far.
Wow.
Clearly in the wrong league, guys.
We're like the Washington Capitals of the beer league.
Yeah. And then we'll flame out in the playoffs, maybe. No, hopefully not. Down 2-1.
Not this year.
Where do you play, Teddy?
We play in the South Bay. It's a league in El Segundo.
Oh, so people aren't invited or anything. You just wanted to give them a shout-out in case they're listening.
Oh, yeah. Please, yeah, don't. There's no need to come to the games at 11 p.m. on a Sunday night. No, yeah, I actually know a lot of them are listening.
It's like a huff and puff league. It's for, like, the older dudes.
Oh, we just want to feel cool.
Good stuff. It's for you older dudes.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of sports, Teddy.
Yeah.
I also am a University of Maryland Terrapin,
Really?
And you played college football for the Terps, right?
Well, I wouldn't say I played.
Well,
but yeah, I mean, I was on the practice squad. I walked on in 1995. Mark Duffner was coach, I walked on. I made the practice squad. I just essentially got my ass kicked daily by very large men on the starting defensive line. Played for the season, and then I ended up transferring to University of Virginia my sophomore year. But my grandparents went to Maryland, my mom, all my siblings, uncles. So
they were all disappointed when you left?
My grandparents actually were, and my parents were, because they had to pay out-of-state tuition all of a sudden. Yeah. They were whatever.
Big Maryland hustle. Were you equally interested in athletics and drama at the same time?
I had no drama aspirations until I was out of college. I got a business degree from Virginia. I ended up in New York working for an agency, sort of like a long, circuitous process. I ended up in New York, and my modeling agency got a call from a soap opera, One Life to Live. They sent 8 of their guys. I was one of them. I'd never been on an audition before.
You know what it's like, Kevin, when your modeling agency insists that you go on an audition.
Yeah, you really need to look
I know.
This.
I sound like a world-class a-hole. I thought it would make a fun story one day. I ended up getting, it was like 3 lines on, you know, One Life to Live. And I got the job. I was terrified because I'd never done it before. And when I got to work, the first day, I just loved it. It was just thrilling. And I thought, you know what, God, this would be amazing if I could do this, you know, more than just a one-off. And luckily for me, they kept bringing me back onto One Life to Live in what's called an under 5 lines or less became more than 5 lines, and eventually they offered me a contract. And so essentially, it sounds so stupid, but acting, you know, sort of came my way. It wasn't the other way around.
Did you ever study it? Did you ever?
Well, yeah. I mean, I got on One Life to Live. I got a contract. I was just terrible. Like talk about, like, woefully, you know, like a wooden boy, like Pinocchio. And I realized there were certain things I sort of knew how to do and a lot of things I didn't. So then I went to acting school. I studied with a guy named William Esper, who's a sort of an old Meisner. Old school Meisner teacher in New York City, still teaches. Basically, I just needed some craft, man. I needed some background. That basically, you know, I got fired and then I went and started taking it really seriously and, you know, eventually ended up just starting to get more jobs. And
well, I wanted to ask you about that because every actor who we now know, like in your case from several high profile, multiple season roles on television, always had a few years where I wondered if it was touch and go. Like back in the 2000s when you were, hey, I'm on CSI Miami for an episode. Hey, I'm on Mad Men for an episode. Right. Hey, I'm on Rules of Engagement for an episode. Was there ever a time where you thought, man, I hope I can just keep stringing these together? I mean, did you think it was going to turn into a lifetime career?
I always hoped that it would. But I was able, like you said, I was able to just do these one-offs, you know, to be a fill-in guy for all these shows that were – and it was amazing because all I ever wanted to do was – to only do acting for a living. Basically, once I found it at 23 years old, and I figured, you know, if I can do enough of these, then maybe someone will give me a full-time job, you know, like a contract job. And that is eventually what happened. I just thought if I could just do that, then I can save really well. And if the show tanks, I can just, you know, wait for the next one to come around. I was always looking at the trajectory of different actors, not famous actors, but just working actors, great right. TV actors, actresses who did a show and that show failed, but then they found another great show. And I thought, okay, so let's just keep hanging around, you know, just stay in the game. It's been a blessing to be able to do different things because I was always the a-hole in the suit for the longest time. Really, like, you know, the guy who, you know, okay, this guy could have gone to an Ivy League school and he's the foil to Jim Belushi on The Defenders. You know, like I did half the episodes of that series. And anyway, so it's been nice, A, to string him along and make it into something more lasting, but also to have it be, you know, pretty varied. I mean, the Masters of Sex is different from The Flash, which is different than 24, which is, you know, we're going to
start shooting. Oh, that's your next thing, right? You're doing the 24 right. Legacy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, 24 Legacy reboot, which is just awesome, man. I mean, just amazing to be able to jump to that next. I'm over the moon. I mean,
how nice to have a business degree, too, so you're not blowing all your money on cocaine and hookers and stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, hold on, are you?
Well,
I think his wife in the next room.
Yeah, my wife's in the next room.
Would rather not hear that kind of talk.
She's giving me the side eye. No.
She's saying yes to cocaine, but no to hookers.
Right,
that's
weird. Yeah.
Well,
whatever.
Hollywood.
Whatever keeps a couple
that's
together.
Hollywood. That's what I say. Yeah. Whatever works.
It's just so I love your story, Teddy, because if somebody had come up to you when you were in love with football at Maryland or doing business at Virginia and said, you're one day going to be an actor on the CW, you would have said, what the hell's the CW?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really true. It came out of the blue for me. And then when it did, it was sort of that sort of feeling you get when, like, oh God, I should be really checking this out. That sort of tickle you get inside of your stomach or whatever. Like, oh man, this is so exciting. And listen, I have that happen with certain things, and then I get bored and I move on. This is one of the things that I've wanted to just sort of do over the course of my life, and I have no idea which way it's sort of gonna go. But it's been nice that it's just been kind of going. And I'm. Listen, it's amazing to be here talking to you guys and me in studio, but I really think of myself as just a guy who gets up, goes to work, and goes home. I don't really want to be splashy about it. There's a great expression I love, always stay warm, never get hot, because the hot people tend to flame out. But if you're warm, someone will always want to sort of have you on board, like Allison Janney. Like, if I could have Allison Janney's smidgen of her career, she just makes whatever she does better, and she's a great member of an ensemble.
So you're just a business. You just go to work, but you destroy worlds, and then you go home.
exactly. Tonight's episode. Specifically.
Well, I'm glad we got a chance to meet the man behind Zoom on today's show. The Flash has been killing it this year, and you'll never meet a bigger fan than Ralph Garman right there to your right, man.
Kevin, you want to ask your
question.
Who's
you
the goddamn
everyone?
Guy in the mask and the stupid? So, they've been hinting at that for two Kevin, effing years.
Kevin has to ask that of everyone
Come
we know
on.
Connected to the Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Just show us who it is.
Well, I mean, listen, if tonight were the finale episode, I'd say you're in luck. But just
okay,
wait a couple more episodes.
All right,
we
I'm
will.
Good with that.
Answers will be revealed, and I think it's going to be very satisfying okay. to the audience. It's going to be very cool and a little bit unexpected.
Allison Janney.
Allison Janney.
Would bring it full
circle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be something?
Yeah,
all right, The Flash airs Tuesday nights at 9 on CW. Thank you, Teddy. Really nice of you to come in, man.
And go Flying Swansons.
Hey, thank you. And go Caps.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
not so much that.
We'll have it beat Pittsburgh.
All right,
can
beat
do
Pittsburgh.
That?
Please
do this.
Yeah.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Thank you, Ralph. We have tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Winning Roast 2016. We're going to give them to you for getting up this early. It sucks to get up this early. We know that. So call in now, 1-800-520-1067 if you want to win your tickets for next Saturday's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's not an easy game. 1-800- Did I say Acoustic Christmas?
Yeah.
That's why Chip almost fell to the ground.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I mean, Winnie Roast.
Right?
Acoustic Christmas.
That's
Come
my
on.
Point.
We all know what you meant.
That's my point.
Hey, congratulations to Susan Varghese, I want to say, from Rosemead. She just won tickets this hour to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016.
Your hey, Susan Varghese, how come you never more want to come by the restaurant? Mama worry.
Apparently, we're giving away tickets every hour all day long today. Is that right,
Chip? That's correct.
Am I reading that correctly?
I think it's 9 to 6, 9
Wow,
to 5.
That's fantastic. So Kat's got them for you coming up at 10 o'clock. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's new?
I have something to give away myself while you guys are giving away tickets and whatnot. How about if I give a little something away? How about tickets to a screening of a movie that I am greatly looking forward to called Money Monster?
Zoom, zoom.
No, that's different. He just left. George Clooney, Julia Roberts, they star in the film. Clooney plays a cable a money advisor, much like that Kramer guy.
Mm-hmm. So he just yells at people a lot?
Yeah, pretty much. And there's a guy who invests money on a stock tip, things go horribly south, and he holds him responsible and takes him hostage live on television. Julia Roberts plays his producer. It looks like a very compelling, tense film. It's in theaters everywhere on May the 13th, but we're doing a special K-Rock advance screening of Money Monster on May 11th at the Arclight Hollywood. If you'd like to come on out and check it out, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Money Monster. New music. You guys were mentioning that Chili Peppers have a new album, right?
Yes. New song.
New song, rather. Bare Necessities?
Yeah.
Dark Necessities.
Yeah.
Close.
Look for the dark necessities, the simple dark necessities.
Chickabow, California!
Also new music from Radiohead. I don't know if you've seen the new video for Burn the Witch, but it's Gumby, basically. It's a Gumby.
It sort of
it's
is.
A Gumby
it's
video.
Claymation, yeah. Ooh,
it's Gumby, and it's sure is Radiohead.
Yep.
Sure sounds
Very
like Radiohead
radio-heady.
Music
yeah.
from them.
Well, that's what they do now.
That's a good point.
Got me there.
That is what they do now.
Here's a little taste of the new Radiohead.
That does not sound like them.
It's from the Blink 182 album, I think, Kevin. I think you hit the wrong button there.
Oh, sorry.
This is lo-fi panic attack. Sing a song on the jukebox that goes
So that is there.
That's what they do now.
That's what they
well,
do
it
now.
Is. I'm saying, what I'm saying is the Radiohead of the last 15 years is a Radiohead that doesn't do traditional song, you know.
No, it's very moody music.
Verses,
and
choruses, things
people
like that.
People who like it, there it is.
Yeah. That was
Speaking of music, Stone Temple Pilots have found a new singer, and it's Scott Stapp of Creed. This according to Scott Stapp of Creed. I can't really share the details about it. There's a lot of good things going on that I can't tell you till later in June, and we'll be making the announcement. But this other band I'm jamming with
is its own band with its own name. Then he finally admitted, talking about STP. And later in the day, the Stone Temple Pilots tweeted, despite recent comments, Scott Stapp is not, nor has he ever been, considered as the singer for STP. Wow. So, just to get that straight, that's not a thing, they said. He's losing it, right? Scott Stapp's losing
it. He's been losing it for a while, I think.
He's going to West Scantlin Town, I think.
Right.
He was just arrested. Did you hear the other day? He was arrested for destroying the house that he lost in foreclosure.
I can't keep up with that vandalism. How many times he gets in trouble?
Yeah.
Is that Puddle of Mud?
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Usually he's on stage screaming at someone in the audience saying, you stole my house. Right. But in this particular case, cops showed up because he was charged and he didn't show up for court, and they frowned on that sort of thing. So he had the cuffs slapped on him.
Guys, let me ask you this question seriously. And I know that it's easy to make fun of Creed because they were a type of music that we no longer listen to or enjoy. Is it possible that Scott Stapp is a good singer and would have been a good lead singer for STP?
Nope.
There you go.
All right.
Moving on.
Just wanted to make sure we considered it.
All right. We did, and I think the jury is in.
Nope.
And we don't do a lot of Broadway news here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No.
But I think this is worth talking about. You know, Laura Benanti, you know her. She not only is a big Broadway star, but she's also in Supergirl, plays her evil aunt, or did, plays her mother on that show. She was on Nashville.
Yeah, she was.
And she is currently starring on the hit Broadway musical She Loves Me. And she was in the middle of a famous song from that production called Will He Like Me? And that's when the phone went off in the audience. At first, she did a side glance at, oh, hello. And then went back to singing the song. And then the phone kept ringing.
Oh, no.
And then the phone kept ringing. Until she stopped the song mid-song and said, I'll wait. And told the orchestra to stop playing.
Wow.
Said, we'll all wait. And a lot of people saying that was unprofessional behavior on her part. That she should have just, the show must go on and you just have to suck it up. And yes, it's distracting and it's problematic, but you should just have kept going. I don't blame her personally myself. And here's what she tweeted. Anyone saying I shouldn't have called out the ringing during my quietest, most vulnerable moment during yesterday's matinee can suck my phone. So I think she's got a definite opinion on it.
She does not want to hear that.
It's probably Bean.
Suck my phone. I've never heard of that.
I haven't either.
Pretty strong.
I like her. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Bobby Cannavale celebrates his 46th birthday today. Actor Dulé Hill from Psych and The West Wing, 41 years old. And Christina Hendricks.
Happen Leonard.
Best known for her work on Happen Leonard.
Well, no, she's best known for Mad Men.
Where do we see Happen Leonard? Where do you have to go?
Sundance. It's on the Sundance Channel. It's a series that's on currently, and I thought maybe...
Is it good?
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
But I thought maybe Christina Hendricks fans may be happy to know she's on another series if they've been missing her on their TV. That's all.
They may be happy to know? Well done, Bean. Well done. Yes.
She seems like a nice lady.
Yes, she does.
You're interested in her.
She's not. Yeah, right. Bean's all concerned about her personality.
She's a nice lady.
She's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win. Did I say helpfulness? That's what I meant to say, helpfulness. And we all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. today on K-Rock. How about that? Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Coldplay's Chris Martin joins us.
Allie, you going to be okay?
I'll be fine. Thank you.
The actor that plays Boba Fett in Star Wars.
On May the 4th?
Will join us.
On Star Wars Day. We're talking to Boba Fett.
And we've got tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Winnie Rose 2016 tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean.